All right, we'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Thursday, March 12th, 2020. Before we get into the agenda, I know everyone's here for a reason that they feel near and dear to their heart. I'd like to bring the back of your agenda to your attention. We're just going to review some ground rules so that everybody's on the same page and we have the same expectations of each other given the size of the crowd we have here tonight and the content of our agenda. So let's start off by welcoming you to Stevensville's Town Council Chambers. We consider it a privilege to present and listen to diverse views. We expect participants will engage in active listening, make concise statements, and observe any applicable time limit. We further expect that participants will refrain from disrespectful displays, including profanity, personal attacks, signs, heckling, and applause. Public comment, there are two opportunities for you. There's an opportunity at the beginning of the agenda on items that are not on the agenda, and then under each agenda item, before council makes a decision, we'll call for public comment at that time. All public comment tonight needs to be brought to the podium. State your name and address for the record, and please sign the sign-in sheet at the podium. This is especially important when the clerk tries to spell your name in the minutes and she doesn't know all of your faces. We have some new folks here tonight, so I appreciate your cooperation and bear with me if I have to prompt you to do so. If for some reason things get a little heated tonight, we'll either recess or adjourn. It's that simple. And we'll take a break and cool off, or we'll go home for the night and we'll address the rest of the agenda on another meeting night. So we appreciate your cooperation in that respect. If you'd please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mayor, I want to make a motion to suspend council rules and go ahead and bring up new item number 11A.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Vick and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to suspend council rules and address new business item 11A first. Council discussion? Any public comment? Mr. Smith? Change your mind?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to speak since there's public comment regarding this right now.
So the comment we're taking on right now is whether or not
71A,
is to move the item on the agenda. We have not gotten to 471 right now. So if you have comment on moving the item on the agenda and addressing it now rather than later, that's the comment we're seeking. All right. Hearing none, we'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin.
Aye.
And Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Okay. Let's get into new business item 11A.
I move to withdraw resolution 471 from the record.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. It's been moved by Mr. Vick and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to withdraw resolution 471. It's just 471.
Yeah, it's just 471.
471 from the record?
Yes.
Okay, council discussion.
So, first off, I wanted to apologize to the people here that I represent and to my fellow council members. The way that this was handled is not how we as adults should be handling this. I come from a long line of military family and whatnot. We should always be trying to handle our business at the lowest level possible initially. While I, at the time, a week ago, had a feeling that Mr. Michelson had wronged me, I am going to give him benefit of the doubt. Because I believe that what he had highlighted in the packet was what he was had me sign for, and not what was in the entire purchasing agreement. However, I do also want to make a secondary motion that we do address grievances amongst council members and complaints from staff members. About council members, I want to make a secondary motion where we will discuss this at the council meeting next week and try to outline a policy where we can handle our grievances that we have with one another, because as of right now, the only thing we have to go by is by a book that soon will be in its 12th reiteration, and a framework that says that we're just kind of being very vague, and we need to actually have a good outline on this whole thing to where we can all work together and have a better form of communication, a better way to where we can have a grievance amongst each other and be able to hear complaints from our staff members.
Okay, are you making that secondary motion now, or are you going to wait until after?
That's a secondary motion of preference.
Okay. Secondary motion has been made to address complaints against council members with each other and from staff in next week's COW meeting. Right?
Correct.
Thank you. Because there was a lot there. Is there a second to his motion?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Vick, seconded by Ms. Holcomb. As a secondary motion to defer a conversation about grievances against council, within council, and from staff to the 19th COW meeting. Discussion on the secondary motion. Public comment on the secondary motion. Public comment on deferring conversation to COW meeting. Okay. Mr. Moore.
My name is Joe Moore, 514 Central. I guess addressing the council, I'm not sure of why we're changing what I read to be the resolution. And according to what I just heard, addressing this to the mayor from council, this type of behavior that's mentioned in this resolution was brought up in January, at the January meeting, when the appropriate appointment for president of the council discussion was brought up. And at that time, giving the benefit of the doubt had already been in play because that person was already back on the council, despite the fact that we still have ongoing litigations in this town for the same kind of problems. So I'm not sure if maybe you could explain to me a little bit more about the rationale behind why you want to take this down after we have a code of conduct and we have some of the same behavior repeated according to this resolution.
Further public comment on deferring the conversation to the committee of the whole meeting. Okay. Any further council discussion?
I have something to say. I agreed that I would have a discussion about the resolution that we drew up. And going through that process of figuring out, listening to people, there's some things that affect you directly. There's some things that affect our town directly. And it's kind of hard sometimes to weed through the rights and the wrongs and the opinions and the thought processes. And I was at a point of giving benefit of the doubt in all of this. And I heard from several of our department, well, not several, a couple of department heads, town staff, that was pretty concerning. I didn't instigate those discussions. Again, all right, people have a little bit different personalities, conflicts, whatnot. That's excusable. And then I received some texts from Mr. Michelson today. That if our staff is treated in the manner of the text I received today at best, I don't feel that you have any right to be sitting at this table. And furthermore, being the president of the council. I have a hard time deferring when it is our job as council to represent the well-being of our town. We're elected to do so. Furthermore, in the code of conduct, it is our duty to make sure that everybody is and call people out if they're not. It's our duty to make sure that our staff and our department heads do not have to work in a hostile work environment. And to be even more frank, I'm very upset that we're even in this situation. I was willing to let it completely go and give benefit of the doubt until today. I don't know that it is us withholding what we were sworn in to withhold if we defer that.
Mr. Michelson.
Do you even know the roles of a councilman? Do you know the roles and duties of a councilman? Do you know the process that put us here? I sent you two both emails Sunday asking for places, times, who did what. If there's a complaint against me from any of them, I want to see it for policy, not just hearsay. Again, do you know the roles and responsibilities? Have you read the personnel policy?
Yes, I have. That's why we're here, having this conversation.
No. No, there's a process here, Jamie. There's a process that if somebody has a complaint, they give it to Robert. Robert has a written complaint. He gives it to Mayor Dewey. Mayor Dewey calls me, and we discuss it. That's in the personnel policy, ma'am. And if that's not worked out, then he comes to you, both of you, and file a complaint. That's the process. In fact, last year, we had a former employee who filed a complaint against Stacy Barker. Mayor Dewey got the complaint. He took it. He called Stacy and discussed it. That's the process.
There is no grievance
process. Point of order. Point of order. There is a grievance process, ma'am. It's in the personnel policy. There is. And the reason why it didn't happen this time, Jamie, is because he was directly involved in this. He wrote the resolution. He wrote the wording on this dang thing. It's got him all over it. That wasn't you. You don't know the past. You don't know the allegations against me. All these allegations in here have to do with the process that I got us here just 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. I, as a council president, did my due diligence and made phone calls, did emails to Robert that nobody knows about. And I discovered that we had a contract and not a quote that was given to us that last Thursday night. The next day, I made a phone call, and then I sent emails to Robert. And then Monday morning, I came in and I got the contract from Robert. You can sit right there and ask him. Robert, was that disrespectful to you, sir?
Not at all.
What did you talk about that day?
So to slow this down, we're not standing trial right now. This is not the process where...
Point of order.
No, Mr. Michelson, the chair is speaking. This is not the venue at this time to elaborate on the details of the alleged behavior or to defend oneself or anything like that. Currently, the motion on the floor is as to whether or not the council wants to undertake a conversation regarding grievances against the council or within the council from staff, and do that at a CAL meeting next week. That's the secondary motion on the floor right now the council needs to address. From there, once we have a decision, we'll then address Mr. Vick's motion in pulling back on Resolution 471. And even under that conversation, I'm not comfortable, because you haven't been afforded your due process, I'm not comfortable even in that conversation into getting into the details of who said what, when, and where. That isn't fair to any of us here. So we're going to do our best to stay on topic, and I entertain more conversation from the council if they're wanting to regarding next week's town meeting and the conversation Mr. Vick has asked to have there. Okay. Hearing nothing further then, I'll call for the vote on the secondary motion. Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin.
No.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Okay, we will add that to the agenda on the 19th. The primary motion on the floor at the moment then is the motion's been stated, however, it's rescind resolution or withdraw resolution 471 from the record. Withdrawal of resolution 471. Council? Public comment. Mr. Smith.
We're withdrawing the resolution, right?
The public comment is withdrawal of the resolution. Correct,
sir. So I can make a public comment in regards to this resolution as long as I stay within that resolution, correct?
Correct. Please step to the podium.
Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View, Stephensville, Montana. Regarding the resolution, has anyone of you read this? This was handed to you as council members, I would hope, because I received it. Has anyone read this? This is Robert's Rules of Order, which our meetings are run under. Let's address the false and inflammatory resolution being put forward tonight by council members Vick and Ms. Devlin. About a sitting council member, wow, where to start? One, the mayor, Brandon Dewey, should have never allowed this to make it this far. He has the power to reject items to be included on the agenda. I've seen him do it before because there was not enough documentation. And for the mayor to sit there after he went on Facebook this morning or this afternoon and said that he's been in discussion with the town attorney over this whole thing is a lie, flat out lie, because if he was doing his due diligence and understood his role and responsibility, it wouldn't be here right now. We wouldn't be in this situation. You speak of hostility. Mr. Mayor has been hostile to that council member since day one. He has done nothing but make his life hell, like running to the paper and stating salacious, slanderous things to the paper. Again, here we are. We went to the paper, the mayor did, stating that council member Michelson threatened a town employee.
Mr. Smith, I'm going to request that you keep your comments on the resolution and concise.
The resolution. Mayor Dewey again failed to know that this is illegal on so many levels, yet still went to the paper about this, creating an atmosphere of hostility towards Mr. Michelson within the community and the office staff. Mr. Michelson is the sitting council president and has rights afforded by law. Yet again, Mr. Dewey doesn't abide by them. Mayor Dewey is the one that has created all these issues but not knowing how to do his job. It is time for Mayor Dewey, Council Member Vick, and Mr. Devlin to resign. You guys have put a black mark on this town for what you have stated about this sitting council member, about what is transpired, forgery. Michelson, let's just break it down. You claim that Mr. Michelson has a documented history in your resolution that poorly reflect on the town. Do you not think your actions have reflected poorly on this town? How about you, Mr. Mayor, for running to the paper? Okay? I think that looks badly on our town. Okay? These infractions include inappropriate contact with staff and department heads, representing the town without express authority or permission to do so, and making personal comments about other members and their opinions and actions. Okay, well, it is a responsibility of the town council to educate. Well, let's do some education. Where is the attached documented history of your
allegations that Mr. Dewey, Mr. Vick, and Ms. Devlin claim to have happened while they have been in office? Or are we dredging up already solved litigation that is for $500,000, again, created by Mayor Dewey not following proper town policy? Again, we had a period of time to stop that, but Mayor Dewey didn't. So are we doing this to help that? We're going to get to the mayor failed to follow policies and laws regarding this issue, while Mayor Dewey is going to the press and releasing confidential information about it while litigation is still going on, which the mayor did regarding the $500,000 lawsuit and going to the paper with possible litigation by Mr. Michelson for false accusations at this point. Mr. Michelson is the council president and has a right, just like every citizen, to speak with anyone who works for the town. He may request information from said employees and receive said documents in a timely manner. And it's amazing that Mr. Michelson can email everybody and never get responses, but when somebody puts in a request for public information, that the mayor can steal the emails without following policy. So we'll just put that out there. He may request, okay? And it's his job. He took an oath, just like you guys took an oath, to uphold our laws, okay? And to protect the town of Stevensville, okay? Mr. Michelson also has a right as a taxpayer to make his First Amendment known. As long as that employee, if that employee feels that he has said or done something inappropriate, we have a grievance policy. If you would look in your own town, here's the grievance policy. And in the grievance policy, and in that grievance policy, there are specifics that were not followed at all here. Specific that outlines how this should have went, where it would have never gotten to this. Would have never gotten to where the Bitterroot Star, to me, owes Mr. Michelson a full page, front page apology for what they have written.
Okay, Mr. Smith, okay. I'm going to request again, keep your comments to the resolution.
Okay, so anyway, in the grievance policy, in the event, and this is the town's grievances policy, in the event...
Mr. Smith, again, I'm going to request you keep your comments to the resolution, not to the personnel policy.
But this is follows part of what's going on with this resolution.
The motion on the floor is whether or not to rescind or to withdraw resolution 470.
I'll get back to the resolution.
No, you need to address the resolution directly or not have public comment at all. The motion on the floor is resolution 470.
I ask the residents of Stevensville if this is acceptable, what Mayor Dewey has done to Mr. Michelson. I say no, it's not. I say all of you need to resign right now. You and you, for the hassle, for the embarrassment that this has caused our community. Thank you.
We can hear you. It's just a...
I do think this one... I applaud you for doing the right thing, and this first part was not the right thing. And there are statutes that deal with elected officials that are very clear and very simple. And this resolution does not follow the statutes. Thank you.
Further public comment.
Joe Moore, 514 Central. I also would like to comment in the affirmative on behalf of my part of the town to
Councilman Dick and to Councilman Denman. I don't know where this spoken is at this present time, but I'd like to see her stop shuffling papers. According to the resolution, I'm only concerned about knowing why we are here, because we have a history that is pertinent to this resolution, this ongoing resolution. And this is a small town, and we have a right to know. I applaud you for coming to realize this behavior and for coming to realize that there's something needs to be done if we're going to change and move forward. And I want to give you the opportunity to have that positiveness to move forward. I thank you for bringing this resolution to our attention. I hope you don't withdraw.
Lewis Barnett, 119 College Street. For those who don't know me, I was chief of police here for 21 years, and I am a past mayor. And I'll hold my comments about how grievances are handled, because trust me, I've handled those. And I'll make those known to the Cal meeting and not take up any more of your time. Thank you.
Further public comment.
Jim Curtis, 3169 Street, Stephenville. It's hard to hear up there. But I understand the motion on the floor is to withdraw this resolution. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. I support withdrawing the resolution. I think some mistakes have been made along the way. I think this is an illegal resolution. I don't think it follows the code of conduct or the personnel policy or state law. So I think you should withdraw it.
Okay. Any further public comment on withdrawing the resolution? Any further council discussion before I call for the vote? Mr. Michelson.
Mayor Dewey, there's a lot of mudslinging going around as far as this code of conduct. The only problem is you haven't implemented it yet. How can you enforce it on me when the implementation says that as soon as I become in office, you're supposed to give me a copy, I'm supposed to sign it, read the code of conduct magazine, and give it back to you to be implemented? So until that's done, has anybody else did that? Have you did it?
Not to my knowledge.
Have you did it, Jamie?
No.
Have you did it?
Nope.
So how can you enforce something that we haven't even read and signed off on, man? That's your job as a mayor. It's right in the front page of the code of conduct. So all this around here and all this code of conduct this and code of conduct that isn't irrelevant. Until you do your duty as a mayor and start reading closely that this thing has to be implemented first.
It certainly has been implemented.
No.
Mr. Michelson, if I were to use that logic with every last ordinance and every other 469 resolutions in the book, And you came to me and said, you're not enforcing this. Well, 2 years ago when I came in, nobody handed me the book and made me sign off for it.
It's no excuse, Brandon. It's in the book itself.
I'm just applying the logic you've explained. You were here. You were on council when the code of conduct was adopted.
Right.
You were on that council. And that's been a year ago. I don't know as though because you haven't signed the piece of paper means that you weren't aware that it can't be enforced. And I don't think that that's what the resolution is pointed to argue. If a resolution adopts a policy, that policy should be adhered to regardless of if it was provided to you when you came back onto the council. Further remark on withdrawing the resolution from council. Ms. Holcomb.
First of all, I was trying to find some of the papers that I put together. One of the things that you put that was on here that he failed to follow established process for requested public records. We don't have one as a council. It's in our Montana Code of Ordinance that we can ask any department head for anything, any council member. And if we want to talk about how code of conduct, I could read some emails from you, Mr. Dewey, that you have submitted to me that was pretty rough. On the part where signed document that with the agenda, I want to see proof that some, I want to see the original and I want to see the one that was turned into you. I want to see proof that something was taken out. You don't have any proof with this. So I have a problem with that. And I had no knowledge of any of this until the agenda came out. Not one. As a council person, I think I should have known that this was in process. I didn't know nothing until the agenda came out.
I can speak to that as well. There's many agenda items that we don't know anything about.
No.
Our communication is poor.
Yes, it is.
I would agree with that. I understand where you're coming from with that. As far as the grievance, because that kind of has something to do with this, can either Scott, can you speak to it, or Brandon, do we have a grievance policy in place that works from an employee to the council?
We do have a grievance policy in place. And I think that is also something that is set right now for another calendar year, correct? I think you're revising that currently.
Correct. Yes, the personnel policy in its entirety is being considered at the next COW meeting. To clarify, yes, the town has a grievance policy, and it's been stated many times, especially by MMIA, that a grievance is not filed against a council member. A grievance is filed against someone in a supervisory position. An employee can file a grievance against a department head. They can file a grievance against the mayor. But they cannot file a grievance against a council member, because a grievance grieves a decision made in regards to the policy. If a supervisor makes a decision to enforce a policy or in relating to the personnel policy, and the employee does not agree with that decision, they can grieve that decision through the grievance process. But when it comes to behavior of an elected official, that's not a supervisor, because they're in, you know, remember, the employee is a member of the executive branch and council resides within the legislative branch. That those two branches are divided and can't have a process necessarily, or don't currently have a process for grievance in between the two. That said, we rely on complaints then. You know, an employee sends an email stating that, Council Member X has acted in or done Y, then, they can defer that to their supervisor, and then it's addressed through the chain of command from there, which ultimately ends in my office. My office has no disciplinary role with council. That's been gone through already. We've discussed that at length. So if I receive a complaint regarding a council member, then typically what I'll do is address it directly with that council member. In terms of the code of conduct, I did just that and sent Mr. Michelson an email stating that these complaints had come forward in general, not specifically, but that there were complaints that had come forward, and here's a reminder of what our policy says. And he acknowledged that email. It's up to, I have to defer to the council when there's a disciplinary issue of behavior within a council member. I have no authority over the subject whatsoever. So in terms of people making statements where the mayor hasn't followed the process, employees aren't following the grievance procedure, there is no procedure for an employee to grieve against the mayor outside of what our code of conduct allows for, which means they notify the mayor and the mayor addresses it with the council. So, does that clarify your question, Jamie?
So, in the short, there is not a grievance process available to an employee or a council member.
Correct, and I think that that's what Mr. Vick is maybe jiving for at the Thursday Cal meeting. Fair enough?
I'm also wanting to, I believe that I stated that in my secondary motion, but as Ms. Holcomb stated, she was not informed about any of this and found out at 5:35 last Thursday, like most of you did, about this agenda item. And I'm also, I'm wanting us to start having better communication amongst one another without a quorum as a council. Mm-hmm. I mean, all four of us make up one body.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Any further discussion from council on withdrawal of the resolution? Mr. Michelson.
I just want to read this information, Dr. Brandon, about the Code of Conduct. Information. This Code of Conduct is intended to be self-enforcing by members of an expression of the standards of conduct for members expected by the town of Stephenville. It thereby becomes most effective when members are thoroughly familiar with it and embrace its provisions. For this reason, this document shall be included in the regular orientations of all candidates for town council, town clerk, town treasurer, applicants to boards, and newly elected and appointed officials. Members entering office shall sign a statement acknowledging that they have read and understood the code of conduct. In addition, the code of conduct shall be periodically reviewed by the town council, mayor, boards, staff, and updated as necessary. So, me leaving for 6 months and coming back, that doesn't mean that I'm automatically grandfathered in. I think you still have a process to go through, sir. Thank you.
Further council comment? All right. Hearing none, we'll vote on withdrawal of the resolution. Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin?
No.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. We will reconvene on Thursday the 19th as scheduled and add this item to the agenda. Please bear with the administration as we modify that agenda and get that prepared. We'll do our best to have that ready tomorrow. Okay, that concludes item 11A. We'll move into public comment of the portion of the agenda. Item 3 is public comment from citizens on items that are not on the agenda. Mr. Smith.
Again, Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View, Stephenville. Again, the issue of bullying, the issue of not working with individuals is Mr. Dewey's fault. How can council members work with an individual that refuses to work with them?
Mr. Smith, we outlined in the beginning of the meeting that we're not tolerating personal attacks.
I'm not personally attacking you. I'm just stating the facts, sir.
You are attacking me.
I'm not, Mr. Mayor, I am not attacking you. I'm using calm, directed information here.
Your language is what I have a problem with.
All right. The reason we're here tonight, again, is because the mayor failed to do his due diligence to inform you as council members, basically, because that is his right, or his executive power, is to talk to council members regarding agenda items, to gather the information before it's put out to us as a public entity, before it gets to the newspaper, where people now out there in the community, Mr. Michelson has been slandered. Mr. Michelson's name is through the mud. And we sit here and we say that this is just, you know, Mr. Michelson has done this continually. Well, let's go back. Mr. Mayor sees the emails of the previous council without following any guidelines whatsoever. Just grabbed them and then disseminated them to the newspaper. Okay? So again, we get back to, he asked us as a council to, you know, work together, reach across the aisle, let's mend fences. And again, we did reach across the aisle. And again, we were lied to, we were ostracized, we were denied the information. So as council members, it's your job to get that data. That's what you're being paid for, is to do your due diligence, to find out the truth before you go out and make such a salacious, ridiculous, just unacceptable accusation against a fellow sitting council member. The reason we are here is because Mr. Michelson found, in his due diligence, doing what a council member should do, found a bill or a, you know, invoice for an upcoming $79,000 bill to the community and questioned it, as he should have. I mean, 79 grand? Wow. When we can't fix our streets, we can't fix our sidewalks that were ruined last year with the snow removal. I mean, we have so many other issues facing this community that this 79 grand outlay is ridiculous. Okay, then we get to the $6,000 on deaths, but we have somebody leave from the water and sewer department. So we're short-staffed there. Again, we're not fixing our infrastructure. We're still leaking, I'm going to roughly estimate, 11 to 15 million gallons a month of water, which costs us electricity. But again, we're going around accusing a council member of forgery. Forgery. That is, a serious charge. I don't see Mr. Marvel going over and placing him under arrest for forgery. Again, we didn't have the data to make that salacious of comments. So Mr. Michelson found that we are signed into a contract for $79,000 for IT services over the next 3 years.
Yes, Mr. Smith, I'm going to respectfully ask that if you're commenting on that agreement, it is on the agenda, and we ask that you wait until that item.
Public comments, or I can speak?
No, it's public comment on items that are not on
anything on tonight's agenda, or not.
No, Mr. Michelson, you need to read the agenda. It is public comment on items not on the agenda.
Well, anyway, let's get back to this. The fact of the matter, we are here because the mayor, not Mr. Michelson, the mayor hasn't done his job. The mayor is the one that isn't trying to work with council. You guys hold the power. You guys make the budget. You guys do everything. He is just a figurehead. That's it. You guys are responsible for it. And again, for you guys, you two, to go out and make such an ill-advised resolution without doing your due diligence, again, tells me, I humbly ask for your resignation because you're not doing what we're paying you for.
Further public comment on items not on the agenda.
Carolyn Mickens, 211 Buck. I'm going to sign it now so I don't forget. Okay, so you need to bear with me because it says in here that I can talk about anything that's not on the agenda without being interrupted. So, after the council passed the resolution to close the alley that was never an alley, Block 17, a packet was sent from the Stevensville Town Hall to the clerk and recorder's office. But when the town clerk sent the packet included all the quick deeds except for mine. Dang, I'm the one running the whole show. What happened? Some of the quick deeds were written incorrectly, and I understand that, but it could have been checked online through the courthouse to figure them out. The resolution was not included in the packet. I think that was the whole point, that the resolution was supposed to be filed. Also not included were the filing fees, nor were realty transfer certificates included. I'm supposed to believe that all of these are just oversights. Yesterday I checked and the resolution had been filed. Yay! But it doesn't go into effect until an easement has been filed. Then we have the situation where the clerk and recorder wants this transaction done one way and the town of Stevensville's lawyer wants it another way. Oh. So now I'm still in limbo. I still don't know what's going on. As of 3:30 this afternoon, no easement had been filed or received, and they thoroughly went through their desks to make sure. They're still waiting, they inform me. They're still waiting for a filing fee and realty transfer certificates for deeds they have received. They have not gotten those things yet. So it concerns me greatly that there's some incompetence going on, or things are getting shuffled and I'm not sure who's doing what, where, why, when. If someone is filing something with in a government job and you're filing something with the clerk and recorder, if you're not sure what you're doing, it should be double checked so that everything is in the packet and it doesn't have to be redone. This is going on 18 months and is still not completed. I'm still not sure if Mr. Owen's way of doing the process is the right way or if the clerk and recorder is doing it her way. And it would be nice if somebody would put me in the loop. Okay, that's all.
Any further public comment? Items not on the agenda.
Howdy. Jim Kelkelpin. I live at 287 Birch. And I love Stevensville. And I also like to comment that the other day I was driving by the path from town to River Road, and I saw, I didn't know if they're volunteers or a community group, but whoever was doing that work of fixing, repairing, and painting the benches, A plus for me. And the purpose of my comments tonight deal with the executive report of the mayor from February 27th. And in that executive report, the mayor talked about future phases of the Creekside Meadows subdivision. Well, there are no future phases of the Creekside subdivision because Creekside is built out, it's done, and anything that would be part of that or adjacent to it would be a new subdivision. It would have its own HOA, its own green space, and its own with everything. So there is no future phase of Creekside Meadows subdivision. It would be a new phase, a new subdivision, if one would such be proposed. Also, according to the town's growth policy, as the mayor said the town's water and sewer systems have adequate capacity to service the areas already annexed into the limits. Well, in the Stevensville growth policy adopted in December of 2016, it exactly 100% contravenes that statement that's in the executive report. In the annexation section, page 12, it says, if phases 3 to 5 of Creekside Meadows subdivision were platted, that would add an additional 149 lots, which would be connected. In the Twin Creek subdivision, it's on Burnport Road, there are roughly 50 vacant lots which were platted during phase one. Continuing in that annexation section, it says, if phase two of the Twin Creek subdivision were platted, it would add an additional 45 lots. Altogether, with full subdivision approval and build out, there is potential for an additional 255 wastewater connections on lands currently within Stevensville town limits, which exceeds the current capacity of Stevensville's wastewater treatment system. And regarding water, annexation section page 12 reads, as mentioned above in the wastewater section, the Creekside Meadows and Twin Creek subdivisions have the potential to add an additional 255 water connections on lands currently within Stevensville town limits. This many new connections would bring Stevensville's water system to capacity, requiring expansion in order to accommodate future annexations. Just wanted to remind the mayor of the Stevensville growth policy from 2016, regarding his comments on upcoming land developments. Thank you.
Further public comment? Okay. Let's move on to approval of the minutes. You have before you tonight, Council, February 27th, 2020 Council meeting. Councilmember Michelson.
I make a motion to approve the minutes for the February 27th, 2020 Council meeting.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson, seconded by Ms. Devlin, to approve February 27th, 2020 Council meeting minutes. Discussion. Public comment? Hearing none, we'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb.
I'm going to abstain since I wasn't here.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin.
Aye.
Motion passes. You have before you approval of biweekly claims. Claim carryover from the previous council meeting is number 15796 and 15812 through 15846. Mr. Michelson.
I'd like to make a motion to suspend council rules and move claim number 1696, First Call Computer Solutions, down below section D, the agreement of First Call Solutions for Managed IT Services.
Okay. It's been moved by Mr. Michelson to consider claim 15796 following new business item B. And seconded by Ms. Devlin. Council discussion on suspending council rules. Public comment? Call for the vote. Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
All right. With that, then you have 15812 through 15846, correct?
We do have an alibi. We had another thing come in late, $70. We couldn't use a credit card, and that is to send Mr. Bones to
Okay, so with that, Mr. Underwood's requesting that claims 15812 through 15847 be approved. Is there a motion on the floor?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it.
It's been moved by Ms. Devlin, seconded by Ms. Holcomb. Approval of claims 15812 through 15847. Council discussion. Ms. Holcomb.
Claim number 15812 for Montana Department of is that the same for 1,125? Is that for the same department?
Yes, it is, but that's the fee we pay every year for basically
to permit our sewer system.
I've got a question about 15822. Is this a reimbursement to you for paying for a records request to Verizon?
Correct. Mr. Michelson.
Regarding that claim, Mayor Dewey, I'm assuming that's still for something that's in litigation?
It is. Yes. The attorneys that MMIA has provided the town for defense requested cell phone records that required that records request because they went back further than what was available. And it cost us $30. Any further questions on claims from council? Ms. Holcomb.
I just have a question. We're always talking about shop locally, everywhere you hear it. I just want to know why our own town hall doesn't shop locally. We're always ordering from Amazon. We're going to Costco. Why isn't our own town hall shopping locally?
It is addressed in the purchasing policy. Given the resources the town has, there are items, office supplies and such that we aren't always able to get locally, and purchasing those in Missoula sometimes isn't always effective. and so sometimes we'll get those on Amazon. Staff has been given direction from my office to use Amazon and online services sparingly, but there are sometimes they can't get around that, and there's a product that they're used to using that they order online. Otherwise, it's usually pricing that drives where we buy our, and the opportunity to purchase in bulk that drives where we spend our money. But when the opportunity exists, we are conscientious of where the money goes.
Okay.
We'd like to circulate it back into the businesses because they pay the taxes, right? So. Further questions from council on claims? Public comment? And now I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Devlin.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Okay, claims are approved. Administrative reports. Mrs. Coleman and Sock, you're up first.
And good evening. So the activity report for the airport this past month. The automated weather observation system stopped transmitting this month. A notice to airmen was issued to inform pilots that it was unusable. A technician from OSI was able to remote in and fix the issue. The taxiway and apron construction project that I informed you of last month is going to be delayed until June 1st, 2020. This delay is due to the construction contractor schedule. It is now set to be completed in September of 2020. An updated land use agreement with the U.S. Forest Service was created this month. The previous agreement had expired on December 31st, 2019. A draft of this new agreement is before the council tonight. And finally, I attended the Montana Aviation Conference in Great Falls. The primary theme of this conference was to get young people involved in aviation and aviation-related careers. They are projecting a shortage of pilots, aircraft mechanics, and air traffic controllers in the future. I thought this would be a great way for the Stevensville Airport to connect with the Stevensville High School and educate them on the opportunities that the state of Montana has to get involved and get the students involved with aviation-related projects. And then I think Craig Thomas had also something he would like to say.
Craig Thomas, Airport Board Chair. The airport is progressing quite nicely, and we would like to express our appreciation to the council and the mayor on these activities, because we didn't have your support, we wouldn't be able to have these things happen. Particularly when we came over to Montana Aeronautics. We'd also like staff, Robert Underwood is doing an exceptional job of explaining to us where we have money and how much money we have and what we need to keep and those kind of things. Giving us excellent guidelines. I haven't seen this since 1992. And I was out of town, and to do the airport agenda, I relied heavily on Monica, and she did a wonderful job in keeping things in line, getting things all done. In addition to that, Katie is exceptionally energetic, and so far, I'm absolutely impressed with her abilities to get things done, coordinate with a lot of people, and we are looking at several different options of expanding revenue for the airport as well as the town of Stevensville on the ground that we hold up there. So be forewarned that there will be some information coming to you as a council later on after we complete our fact-finding sessions. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Craig. And Katie, appreciate it. If you need to dismiss yourself, you're welcome to. The building department report is included in council's packet. Finance report, Mr. Underwood.
Okay, tonight for you, I have the budget versus actual as of March 5th of this year. We're on track. As of right now, we spent 50% of the budget, as you can see at the bottom, for all the funds. A couple of funds we're going to highlight is the Fund 2311, Targeted Economic Development. We last month paid the airport loans to Montana Aeronautics, which that's what that fund was created for. That's why we're 98% there. If you go down a little bit further, I want to hit on is the airport itself. It says it's at 98%, but that is a glitch within the system, the way we count, do the accounting. We did in the past with that $9,884 from the one fund. It was shifted into the airport fund, but it used to go to expense account, and we just wipe it out so you wouldn't see it. But this way we're trying to get where you can account for the revenue in that account and take it out. So it's just an accounting glitch. We're going to come back to you later on. We also have still to do to remind everybody we have the budget amendment for the backbone of the skid air still on track, and the airport. The airport right now has got grant funds for about $1.756 million to spend this year, and that needs to be a budget amendment and spend that grant funds. That's both the aeronautical grant funds and the FAA funds for the airport. Any questions?
Any questions for the finance officer from council? Okay, thanks, Robert. Fire Department Chief Motley is not in attendance tonight. He's out of town. That report is included in your packet. Police Department Chief Marble.
Okay, so you have, I assume I don't need to use a microphone. Everybody can probably hear me.
Huh?
That's a good one. So we did the coffee with the cop. That was received pretty well. We haven't been getting a lot of people coming to those meetings, but that's okay, because we also put it out on Facebook. We have quite a few people that watch them and comment, and they'll contact our office to discuss the various issues that come up. It was pretty well received, I think. You know, we discussed theft, locking vehicles, you know, things to look out for in your community, and you know, how to keep your belongings safe within your residence, storage units, things like that. The police department is currently operating with three operational vehicles, with one in reserve, and that one vehicle that we have in reserve was donated several years ago. We try to avoid using that, but we have to from time to time. The other vehicles that were that we attempted to sell to other law enforcement agencies, there was just no interest in them. So unfortunately, we have them currently getting stripped of the law enforcement equipment, which we will hang on to and either reuse or possibly sell to another department. I don't know how that's going to shake out in the end, but that's what's going on presently. Other than that, we've got 75 calls for service for over in February, and various things, traffic stops, disturbance, disorderly assault, counterfeiting, theft, and 153 thus far from January 1. Questions?
Questions for the chief from council.
Can you introduce us to John?
I can. Sergeant Ellington. He's our newest hire. He's currently filling the role of school resource officer at the school, doing a very good job. Comes to us from Florida originally, where he was certified and spent 5 years on the street in, what's the name of the city?
Lakeland.
It's a nice city.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Any further questions from council? And as a update to personnel, we have a police commission meeting scheduled for Wednesday for an additional recruit.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Chief. Public Works, Mr. Thomas.
Okay, this month we produced 11,901,000 gallons. It appears that our leakage is better just because some of the leaks have gotten fixed. We've done our water test reports to the state, some water meter repairs. At this point in time, our meter reading system is down due to the fact that we had to send part of the unit map to be taken care of for the new upgrade that we're going to do. That new upgrade will be done next month. They'll come and train us for a couple days and do that upgrade. I'm going to put a call in tomorrow to see where the part is for the water meter reader, so we can, because we got to leave at the end of the month. If not, we can borrow one from the unit. We'll bring it down and we can use that one. We had one frozen water service under a home. Actually, I froze the water service under a home, so we should replace the shutoff valve, because we think the past years that the main shutoff out in the front yard was taken out by a grader, because we found parts of it down the street. So we thought we had it found, and all we had was the top, so we never found the rest of it. So the only way to shut that water off is to freeze it under the house and change the valve for the folks. Wastewater treatment plant, we treated 5 million. We've done our sewer samples and reports to the state and EPA. We've been pressing the sludge out of one of the digesters. Right now we can't dry any because it just freezes. We've jetted some sewer mains for just cleaning. We've had one flood that we caught early enough, and no property damage or anything like that. There has been several people calling me about their own service that's plugged, and they've been just treeless, and services are there for the homeowners to take care of. One of those plugs was at the DMV office. They had to close their office because it did back up into the office. But like I said, that was theirs. We had a UV ballast burnout. We got that changed right away. That system automatically switches to the next UV system if there's a problem with one, and it works very well, so we got that fixed. During that high wind, there was 5 trees that came down, and we had two of them we cut up, and others were cut up by homeowners, and then we hauled them all down to the sewer plant to put them in our burn pile. During that storm, I had to come in, mark out several, one alley and over by well one for the power company because they had to replace poles. Over at the well house, it also took out the 3 transformers on that pole. So that took all the power out to the well house, but we got that all restored. And we replaced the steering pump and one of the pickups. Cemetery, we haven't had to do anything this last month. And other than no snow, we had to do a quiet month. So, and we are looking for another employee. Application is out.
Okay. Any questions from council for George? Okay, thanks, George. All right. There are no guests on the agenda to recognize tonight. There are otherwise on the rest of the agenda. And I have no correspondence to read to council. We'll proceed with public hearings. We have one public hearing scheduled tonight for the annexation of a tract of land located in Section 35, Township 9 North, Range 20 West. It's a 26.06 acre parcel identified in certificate survey 691110-R as Tract 1B. Before we open the public hearing, the administration is going to request that council table the easement contract and the annexation. We don't have the contract available tonight, given the past 7 days. Legal counsel hasn't been able to pull that together in time to bring it to this meeting. We were optimistic in placing it on the agenda, and it's my sense from counsel that you're not necessarily interested in looking at annexation. There are a couple things we want to address with annexation anyway, before the contract is before you. So we'll still hold the public hearing tonight, gather public comment on the annexation, before we proceed to unfinished business, and that way that portion of the process is complete and we can consider any of that public comment as we adjust going forward. So with that, we'll open the floor for public comment. It is not necessarily an opportunity for dialogue, but we want to hear your comments before council considers the actual item. So, podium, state your name and address for the record.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, I really don't have public health. I just can't hear. So did you say that you're going to delay B and, I mean, A and B?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council. My name is John Kellogg, and I'm not here as your planning board chair. I'm here on behalf of Jesse Reeves, who's requesting this annexation. I've got to sign in.
Please do.
This issue was brought up to the planning board at their recent meeting, and they voted, not me, I recused myself, but they voted that 100% in favor of the proposed annexation and C2 zoning. So, the proposal is from Mr. Reeves to annex Tract 1B of Certificate of Survey. Do you have the report?
Ms. Hoffman, I think if you go into the agenda item itself under unfinished business, it's included. The map is included. You're looking for the map, right, John?
Yes. Yeah.
Page 38 of the packet, Monica.
And for your information, Jesse and his wife are here if you have questions for them this evening, too. The proposal is for annexation and zoning of this 26-acre parcel. It's immediately east of the Twin Creeks subdivision. You'll see the edge of Twin Creeks is on the west side of the map there. The city's well field is within that these 5-point-some-acre tract immediately to the west of that. Mr. Reeves is proposing to annex the 26 acres, which is runs along the south border of that and then wraps up to the north and east and touches the intersection of Middleburg Fork Road and Logan Lane. Mr. Reeves is interested in building a house on the lower portion of that property. Now you see the proposed building site there. And if I could also point out some interesting items on this property.
John, do you want a laser pointer?
Yeah, that would be great.
Do you have it there? Yeah, perfect. It's one of those buttons.
On the right-hand side.
Right-hand side, lower.
Yep.
Got to take my glasses off.
Okay, there you go.
Okay. The city's well field is just adjacent to this property. And so there's extreme interest on your behalf for protection of that well field. And Jesse shares your concerns. Jesse is interested in constructing a house at this proposed site here. With annexation, he would also be able to track water and sewer back to the city's mains with this connection here. If Mr. Reeves did not choose to annex this property, it's currently unzoned, and so pretty much open to what the county would permit, which is very liberally interpreted. We believe the annexation would be beneficial to both Mr. Reeves and the city for a number of reasons. One is for the protection of the well field. If Mr. Reeves did not proceed with the annexation. He would be looking at probably locating a grain field somewhere on his property. And if that were to occur, there would have to be a lot of care taken to protect the city's grain field, or city's well field. So, with the annexation and with the connection to water and sewer, this means no septic system would need to be installed. The well field could be protected. And in addition, the pond that's located just adjacent to where Jesse would like to build is an important aspect of the city's efforts to transfer water rights from the previous intake to that well field there. And if I could ask, where's that process happening?
Currently, all of our water rights associated with Burnt Fork are in the middle of adjudication through water court. That's nearly wrapped up. And then once that process is complete, our water rights attorney is pulling together the water rights change application.
Mm-hmm. And the role that this pod plays is in determining the recharge adjacent to the city's well field. I think the NRC looks on that pond as being an important aspect of that whole process. Jesse understands the importance of preserving the pond, preserving the town's water rights. He's also expressed a willingness to work with you on the agreement that I think you brought up that the city attorney is working toward accomplishing. Jesse, however, is concerned that the reservation of an easement or whatever for the location of that well or wells is not something that's going to pincushion his property, is not going to create some impediments to what he could do with the property in the future. But he recognizes your concerns for looking for potentially another location for a well on the property. So I think with the annexation, the connection to city water and sewer, that activity can look toward protecting the city's well field, look toward protecting the city's concerns over their water rights. And so I think it's a win-win for Mr. Reeves and the city. Concerning the proposed zoning, Jesse.
I'm going to ask the audience if they'd be respectful and keep the chatter to a minimum, please. Thank you.
During the planning board hearing, Jesse explained that he would like his purpose in purchasing this property and requesting annexation is that he would like to be closer to town and to school and would like to be involved in the schools. It'll be a better spot for him, his business of housing construction, custom home business. It's good visibility. And his through his company, he builds maybe 2 to 3 homes a year. So he anticipates some equipment storage, and maybe a machine shed, an old-fashioned looking barn, because he loves reclaimed materials that would showcase what he can do in a tasteful way. As I said, the planning board was encouraged by what Mr. Reeves is interested in doing here. There was a lot of discussion for concerning the C2 zoning, and within the development code, the C2 zoning is a limited commercial district. It was initially set up to be what's called a transitional buffer. And in zoning terms, you're looking at intensive uses. In this case, the intensive uses are more concentrated commercial. C1, for instance, is downtown, fairly heavy traffic, lights, etc. And this limited commercial district was kind of intended to be a buffer between the downtown and the residential neighborhoods on the east and west. However, it, in the case of Mr. Reeves, can serve to be an appropriate transition from the residential development to the west and what he intends to do on the property, which is fairly limited. So, we think this is, like I said, a win-win for Mr. Reeves and for the city. And we would encourage you to follow the lead of the planning board and approve it. Thank you.
Jim Cruz, 316 9th Street, Stephenville. I would encourage you not to do this incorporation of the C2 zoning, because the C2 zoning is set up as a buffer or transition area between the C1 and the residential areas of the downtown district, not the outlying districts. Okay? C3 is set up south of town. We don't have anything set up going north of town. But C2 is the transitional area right here in the heart of town, not out there. And I've got a little bit of a problem putting a commercial property next to a well field. I don't know everything that's going to be going on with this business. There's going to be truck traffic out there. I already see that we're going to have a road going through a residential area to supply a commercial business. I don't think those people buying those houses over there in Twin Creek are really going to appreciate having commercial trucks running down that road. Some of these people won't have little kids out there and things like that. So I don't think that was the intent of that property out there. And the fact that you may have commercial trucks out on a property next to a well field, you may have fuel leakage, oil leakage, or something like that. And I believe that pond may be a wetland area. So we had an environmental assessment concerning putting anything next to that pond. The other thing is, the other thing is, I didn't really see in any of the documentation of water rights ownership for that property. So, does the property owner own the water? Because I would figure if we're doing water rights, our water rights attorney ought to be here, and I don't see him here. Just my opinion.
For the public comment.
Excuse me, Vicki Motley, 318 9th Street. I think it is in the best interest of the town to annex this in. I think we need to protect the well field, which protects our water. So I encourage you to go forward with this annexation to protect our water and our water rights.
Any further public comment? Okay. If there's no further public comment, we'll close the public hearing on annexation. Unfinished business, item A is a discussion decision on an easement contract with Jesse Reeves for future wellfield infrastructure.
I'll move to table that item.
Okay, it's been moved to table.
Second.
And seconded by Ms. Devlin. Council discussion on tabling.
Now this is just while we're waiting on a contract to come forward, right?
Correct. As soon as a contract's available, then we'll get that to council on an agenda for your consideration. We obviously want to allow time for Mr. Reeves to review that contract as well and address his concerns for the property, of course.
Okay.
So, and at this time, in terms of the contract and where an easement lies and how much of an easement exists, we don't necessarily have those definitive answers because we haven't completed the preliminary engineering report on our water system to determine what's needed in the future as far as wells and how many wells and where those wells should be. And that PER will determine a lot of that for us, and then we can go forward with an easement. This contract just says that we both understand at some point an easement is going to be needed, but we'll have that forthcoming. Any public comment on tabling the easement? John, you look perplexed.
What's your time frame for the getting an idea for what the easement should say?
Scott?
Well, and frankly, I mean, to address this issue, it really requires a specificity, and that's just something we don't have right now. We can put together a contract, and as open as it is right now, is that Mr. Reeves is going to allow an easement for the town to come in. I get pretty nervous about drafting a contract without a whole lot of specificity. Does that make sense? So why is... I think you expressed some concerns by Mr. Reeves about what is this going to look like.
Correct.
And so that's kind of where the conversation is to go. If I draft a contract that is open, I'm concerned about what it looks like without knowing more. And it sounds like we've got a...
But I guess my concern is that analyzing where the well should go was also part of this, and that
is part of the complexity of this entire project. Is certainly we can't be placing an easement on the entire property so that, you know, in 2 years we can decide where a well should go. We don't know that, and so that's the specificity that Mr. Owens is referring to. Certainly, I mean, it's easy right now to place an easement over the pond to preserve that, although Mr. Reeves has expressed that that pond isn't going anywhere. But when it comes to wells, we don't know how many and where they would go because we haven't gotten that far in our process. And that's the complexity of this entire situation.
But we're not talking a long time in the future to determine that?
Well,
because Mr. Reeves is on hold until...
Right. And if council decides to take on annexation tonight with regardless of a contract, that's their decision to do so. That timeline is probably lengthy, John, because we're just now receiving proposals on that PER, and then once we receive those proposals, we'll let a contract on that PER. And then when those results, it could be this winter, it could be later. So that's part of the conversation that we need to have is how does this look? And I'd entertain a conversation from council. While the motion on the floor is to table the matter, it does affect the timeline. And so I'd be curious to hear from council how you vision accommodating annexation with this idea that you know, we want to retain some sort of easement that we don't know yet going forward.
I mean, I'm definitely not for annexing in without us having our terms of a contract for easement.
We need to have those terms in place, definitely.
George?
Are you going to let the department head see that contract when it's done so they can go over it and make sure that what they applied
to the contract beginning?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to be circulated, obviously. The problem is we don't have a draft of it yet. We don't have anything. The original idea when we said let's do a contract was let's do a contract that promises an easement in exchange for annexation. What that easement looks like, we'll have to determine later. And but that isn't necessary. While it's ideal probably for the town at the moment, it isn't necessarily fair to the other party because we haven't negotiated what that easement looks like, and we could go to him and say, well, we have a contract that says we want an easement, and we're going to easement your whole property, and that's not what he signed on for. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's the delicacy of this situation. It's awkward, unusual. No one else has really, I think, come across this, and Scott's experience in discussing it with other attorneys, it's not normal.
Yeah. That's the issue. And I think there's been a designated, there's an idea, but of course I'm going to have to work with the department heads to figure out what it looks like in the language of the things. And of course Mr. Reeves is going to have to review it.
From this step, in order to keep the annexation moving forward, because I think the council should be sensitive to the timing of that, does the council object to the administration meeting with Mr. Reeves and maybe there's a location of the property where he's not intending to do anything or something like that where we can at least cordon off a piece of the property of some size for well development if we need it? I mean, because frankly, while we like the property for future well development because our infrastructure is there, the preliminary engineering report could surprise us and come back and say, no, you need to put your wells someplace else. That ground is maxed out. That is a possibility, but we won't know that for some time. So that adds to the complexity of this decision.
My concern is, I guess, for Mr. Reeves.
Sure.
That right now he's not annexed into town. He's not zoned.
Right.
He's fairly free to do a lot of things that he could do, and he could move forward with that. He's wanting to be a good neighbor.
Sure.
And wants to preserve the city's water right and help the city with the potential well situation. If we're talking about a long time in the future until he can annex, I'm concerned that
sure.
Mr. Reeves might not be able to hold on for that long. So I would like to get a resolution of where the city's concern is for a potential well in the near future.
Sure. And I'm sharing your concern. Mr. Michelson?
I don't think I'd like to move forward with this until I see Mr. Scott's terminology of the contract. I mean, I don't think any township should, nothing against Mr. Reeves, but should rush into judgment without something in writing. We had a situation a few years ago, Mr. Barnett can attest to that, where out of Twin Creeks, it's basically a handshake, and they rushed to judgment, and they said, oh, we'll just keep this here, there'll only be a few houses. Well, look what happened out of Twin Creeks on a handshake. It exploded. Not saying Mr. Reeves would do that, but we really need to dot our I's and Q's very closely as a town, because you don't in this day and age can come back to bite you. Thank you.
Further council discussion? Your question has not been answered. We'll work to get an answer. I don't know. We can consult with our engineers and see if there's a way to better define what area of that property would be like for a well. We can do that sooner rather than later in tandem with Mr. Owens' draft of the contract. Is that fair enough for at this point?
I can have a discussion with Mr. Reeves and his wife
sure.
regarding how long.
Right. No. All right. Is there any public comment on tabling the contract with Mr. Reeves.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Steve Gibson, I think it's a great idea to delay it with the contract issue. I think I was involved in this. I think the Reeves have every best intention in the world, and we all agreed to look at that. But this isn't the time to move forward, so I support the motion on the table. Thank you.
Any further public comment? All right. Hearing no comment or discussion from council, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
And Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. Can I get something? We're supposed to establish a date that you're going to bring it back up. You can't just table it, but by the rules of order, you have to establish a date to bring it back up.
Thank you for pointing that out. I think it was your intent when the contract's done.
When,
well, we don't
my,
know
my
the
intent
date.
Is for when the contract is done, Mr. Cruz.
Okay. I think that's noted. You're now faced with discussion, or excuse me, yeah, discussion decision on Resolution 470, annexing a tract of land previously mentioned.
I move that we table it until the since we're holding up on the contract.
Okay. It's been moved by Ms. Holcomb, seconded by Ms. Devlin, to table the item until the contract comes forward, which we've expressed intent that that contract will come forward when it is ready. Council discussion on tabling. Public comment. All right, Mr. Cruz.
You don't mind my knees, it's really hard to get up.
Fair enough.
When you table something and you say until like the contract comes up, then you're trying to give an open-end table to whoever's working on the contract. You really need to establish a hard date. Even if you're just going to table it again, move it out 30 days, 45 days, or something like that, and that puts the pressure on the person writing the contract. That's how you get things done.
Thank you.
I'll make a secondary motion of preference to reconsider my tabling of the easement contract until April 9th's meeting.
Okay, secondary motion is to reconsider the original motion and move that deadline to April 9th. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Discussion from council. Deadline, April 9th. Council, or excuse me, public comment. Mr. Reeves.
Jesse Reeves, 3747 Devon Loop. I would just ask that the council please consider this in a timely manner as we are making our life plans accordingly to the approval of this. Our intention is to put our house on the market this spring. And as everybody knows, with the market as good as it is, it most likely will sell quickly. So the sooner that an agreement could be reached, the better. As was stated tonight, we are fully willing to work with the city on protecting the pond. If more protection is needed, other than the protection that already exists on it with water rights, I looked back through the water rights on that one, and the stated use of water rights on the official water right is for fish and wildlife. And so to my knowledge, according to DNRC, what can anybody do to that? Nothing. I mean, that's my knowledge. I'm not saying that's the case, but so if it can be avoided to complicate our piece of property with easements that may not be necessary to protect that, obviously we would appreciate that. There is obviously a limitation to what we would like in terms of how many wells, where they're located. But again, as I've stated before, we want to be a part of this community even more so than we already are, and are totally and fully willing to, you know, improve the water system. And if we could be a part of that, that's great. But I appreciate the pressure, so to speak, to try to come together with an agreement. I have yet to be contacted to discuss such agreement, which I think would probably speed up that process rather than going back and forth. I feel like we could head off some of those possible disagreements right off the bat, and whether I, you know, I don't know who I would even meet with to talk about that, but I guess that's just my request, is that it's done in a timely manner. I know it's a process. I know it has to be a process, but yeah, so that's about it.
Okay. Any further public comment? All right. Secondary motion is to bring the contract forward again on April 9th council meeting. Call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin?
Aye.
All right. Motion on the floor currently is to table resolution 470 until contract is brought forward again. Ms. Holcomb?
I guess we need to move that one to April 9th as well, just to put a date on it.
Okay. Is there a motion to that effect?
I move that we table resolution number 470 to our April 9th meeting.
A second.
Okay. We'll consider that amendment as tabling resolution 470 to April 9th. Discussion on the amendment. Public comment on the amendment. Call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Okay, your motion before you tonight is to table resolution 470 to April 9th. Further discussion on that motion? And any further public comment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Devlin?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
All right. Next item is unfinished business C, discussion review of a special audit from May 2019 through July 2019. Mr. Underwood, do you want to brief on this?
Yes, I've been in contact with Mrs. Cope, and she's had some family issues that occurred at the beginning of the year, and she's been working on a special look, I guess you would say, of our situation between May and August of last year. She finished the first 2 months, May and June, and provided a report, which is in the packet, and that basically laid out if most of the stuff has been done to the standard, you know, audit standard. But there are some areas that it's basically an accounting function she's working on to help us clean up year-end stuff, because over the course of a couple of years, we've had, you know, multiple people in the job, and she scanned those documents and looked into it. So I talked to her today, she's finishing that up, should have it this week, and then she'll move on to, you know, since it's between 2 years, and she did her first 2 months, got to the end of the year stuff, still worked on that, and then once that's been polished up, she will move on to the next 2 months. She's planning to come here and talk with the extension.
So then she'll give us a whole recap?
Yes.
Okay.
This is more or less a status report she was able to provide the town with, where she's at so far, given it's basically halfway through her process. So we just wanted to keep council apprised as to where it was, and that was the intent of the item. Any further discussion from council?
So this is
Mr. Michelson?
So this is basically kind of an incomplete one yet?
It's a halfway report.
Okay.
And here's where we are halfway. There's still plenty of work that still needs to be carried out.
Thank you.
Mr. Michelson?
I'd like to entertain maybe a 10-minute recess. Everybody's getting a little restless
here. Any objections to council?
No.
Okay. We'll recess for 10 minutes. All right, folks, we're going to get started.
I got to grow up with an egg.
They started talking and they got louder.
Yeah. All right, we'll go ahead and reconvene the town council meeting for Thursday, March 12th. Thanks, George. Okay, we have before you new business, item B, discussion decision, agreement with First Call Computer Solutions for managed IT services. We have tonight, we brought in Jessica who with First Call. She serves as the town's chief information officer, and she's here to share some information with council about the services that First Call currently provides the town. This item is placed on the agenda to give the council an opportunity to discuss the contract, or the agreement itself, the services, and the services that are provided with it. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jessica Stenberg. I am UBCIO. That stands for Virtual Chief Information Officer. I have been assigned to you by First Call Computer Solutions, and the reason I came here tonight was kind of to review what that service is. So what the town of Stevensville signed up for was indeed a three-year contract. The terms of that contract are to have a 12-month day period, if you will, at which point that contract can be canceled at any point for any reason by either party. What we have done at this point is implemented firewalls in all of the locations that the town manages that have internet service. With the uptick in cyber risk, we have implemented a firewall that will help protect the town's resources and the data that you house. The other thing that that does is help you with your infrastructure such that systems that you use, like Black Mountain, that you use to do all the invoicing and billing that you do through the city, to prioritize that network traffic so that happens in a successful way. That system is pretty critical to the environment, it's pretty critical to the town, and being able to house that data and have that system work and have an uptime is really important. So those are some immediate changes that we made. The nature of the agreement is to provide day-to-day support, so anytime anybody needs any assistance, they have somewhere to call with some expertise on the back end. It includes monitoring of backup systems. It includes monitoring of your network access. If we see any suspicious activity, we're going to get notified of that fact. It includes everything on these eight or so pages. So in addition to that, it is my time, and my job is to make sure that when you're looking at things that touch technology, that you have someone that's got technology expertise in your environment that can help advise you and make sure that if and when you spend money on technology, it's a smart spend. Okay? Beyond that, if you want to get into the nitty-gritty, the central services, which does all of the patch management to make sure that you're up to date, at this time, the most of the systems or computers being run are running on Windows 7. Windows 7 is no longer supported by Microsoft. It is also a security risk. It is not being patched. It is not being, you know, if there is a virus that can affect it, it is not being protected against it simply because Microsoft has ceased to support it. For that reason, we have recommended that the city go ahead and look at either upgrading those systems that are late enough to handle an in-place upgrade and to replace those systems that won't. There are several systems that are woefully out of date. So that is something that we've proposed. We do documentation on all of your systems. We track your passwords so that that information doesn't get lost and isn't housed in something like an email somewhere that somebody sent you. Because that too is a risk. And by keeping it that way, when you have a change in staff, it's something that you can pass along. Okay, so you've got some consistency and continuity. We'll do a tech steering meeting once a year. At that tech steering meeting, I will come to you with recommendations. As we get to know each other, I'm going to be aligning you and giving you alignment scores against common IT practices that are tried and true. And I will let you know where you are not following IT practices. And at that point, we can have a conversation and discuss whether or not it makes sense for the town to implement something different. Okay? In a nutshell, that is our service. Do you have any questions for me? And would anybody else out here like to look at this?
Questions from council on the services, part A.
Are we going to make a motion so we can discuss this?
You're welcome to make a motion and put something on the floor or discuss it before making a motion if you need direction on what that motion is. Mr. Michelson?
I make a motion to reject the first call computer solutions.
Is there a contract? For a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson, seconded by Ms. Holcomb to reject the first call computer solutions contract. Council discussion. Ms. Holcomb?
Okay, so I went back to their claims back in January. And yes, shame on us, council, we did approve that $4,200. I did ask the question what it was. I was told it was first 2 months of service and a monthly charge. We were never told that this was a contract at this time, that you had signed it back in December. And again, shame on council, we didn't ask more questions, we didn't dig into this, which we should have. Then, now we're being told it's a 3-year contract, but I'm a little confused because your email to all of us said you continue to refer to a contract that does not exist. We just got done being told it's a 3-year contract. But this is the funny part, or maybe not so funny. The night of February 27th meeting, when you all put a kibosh on this until we further looked into it, the next morning I get a scam email. So, what's that all about? And the only reason why I answered it is because since I wasn't at the meeting, I thought you actually wanted to talk to me because it says, Robin, are you free at the moment? Regards, Brandon E. Dewey, Mayor. I replied back, I'm in for a few minutes before we open the bank. We will be shorthanded by one person, but I'm available. This is when I found out it was a scam. I'm tied up right now in a meeting. Can you help me go to the nearest grocery store and purchase Google Play gift cards, seven pieces, $100 each? I will reimburse you at the moment that I'm done. Let me know if I can help with this as soon as you can. They're urgently needed. So I didn't see where this covered it and stopped it. We got an email from Scott this afternoon. And this is why I was looking for all my paper. Now I just covered it all up again. The council approves every contract. Not one here, and then one over here. Then not one here, and then one over here. Here it is. Contracts. The council has power to make any and all contracts necessary to carry into effect the powers granted by the state law and to provide for the manner of executing the same. Especially a contract that's going to cost this town over $75,000 in 3 years. We need another police officer. We need help for George. And like it was said earlier, we have sidewalks that need replaced. This is way too much. And where's the 3 bids? We should have gotten 3 bids for something so much. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Mr. Michelson.
I'll tell you my timeline, folks. The council packet came out a week before last meeting, and I was meeting at the time with Mayor Dewey in his office.
Okay, Mr. Michelson, I am going to stop you. The motion on the floor is to reject the contract. The subject matter should pertain to whether or not you're going to approve the contract, not whether I signed it ahead of time or what I said in a meeting or anything like that. This is, do you or do you not reject the contract? Mr. Michelson.
I do not approve the contract, and I'll tell you the reasons why. The reasons why is because in your office you said we were on a gating period. In your office, when I asked you if we had bids, you said, I'm working on it. We went to the council meeting. The council meeting, you said, sir. We did the claim. I questioned the claim. And when I questioned the claim, I asked for the contract. We were passed out what we thought were the contract. I asked you if it was the contract. You nodded yes. Well, I found out it was the quote. So I did my diligent duty as a council member, and I went searching, and I made a first call. I called her. She said you had an agreement since November of last year. And then I came back, and after some email exchanges with Robert, and he admitted in the email that he had made a mistake, that we were given this then. This is the contract with your name on it, signed December 12th, 2019. Now the elephant in the room to me is, where was this in the budget? Where was this in the budget?
Mr. Underwood?
It's in the IT line in each of the departments. As we put in the budget for the past the budget, in the IT line. Each department has an objective line for IT, and when the budget was developed, that amount was put in the budget to cover the costs. Not knowing that at the time the budget would be developed, which way we're going to go, knowing that there was a need for this type of service for this town. I've been involved in organizations who've been hacked in the last couple of years. The amount of money they paid for this, that was, after they've been hacked or had their data stolen, is in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. When I came on board here, one of the things I did, I realized that I bought my own software from the computer I'm on, fully knowing that we didn't have the security in place. Unfortunately, that cut everybody out soft. Because that software couldn't talk to anybody else. And that's when we started talking with the mayor. We need to deal with this situation because we are very vulnerable. Every one of our services is vulnerable. The water was vulnerable. The sewer plant was vulnerable. Even up at the airport, the AWAS is vulnerable. And everything in our town services. That's when the subject started coming up. So each department has a line in it for IT and for work.
It's
broken down an allocation.
Okay. Mr. Michelson.
I have to go back to the budget. At the very beginning of the budget, when it was adopted, there was a pretty thick packet of the preliminary. It was presented at the ad hoc committee. And I went to many budget meetings, and I never seen that again. In fact, I never seen that discussion even come up during the budget meetings about IT service. Mr. Gibson was there. Mr. Sherrod was there. You were there. Robin was there. Can anybody say if there's a discussion about this IT contract? You guys were there. How about the department heads? The department heads had to know. This comes out of your budget every time. Did you guys know that this was in it? No? Then we got a problem here. If the department heads can't recognize the fact that we have an IT contract here, and if we have a mayor here that didn't solicit any bids. It wasn't even advertised in the paper for 2 weeks as required by law. There was no bids taken out there. And then we had a mayor that signed it without authority on December 12, 2019. That's a big issue here, folks.
It's not necessarily the issue before you
tonight. Point of order, sir.
No, Mr. Michelson, I'm telling you, that is not the issue before you tonight. The question before council is, do you or do you not reject the contract? It is not about the process of how the contract came to be.
It came to be because you...
Again, it's not about the process of how the contract came to be.
No, sir.
And the city attorney has rendered his opinion on the matter.
No, sir.
Yes, sir. He has. Mr. Vick?
No, sir. I'm not going to accept that as an answer.
Mr. Vick.
You...
Mr. Vick has the floor.
I am not going to argue whether or not we need IT services. I think everyone here realizes this is the 21st century. We do need them. However, the one thing I am not happy about... And I'm sure I'm probably going to end up getting talked to whenever I say this, is the fact of the matter is that a contract was signed without council approval. And that is where I have an issue approving a contract for something that was not approved by the council.
It is before you tonight for approval. You brought it to the council largely brought it to the administration's attention. We sought to correct that. We brought it forward. Again, the town attorney has rendered each of you his opinion on whether the agreement was out of line or not. Ms. Devlin, did you have a comment?
Well, I was going to ask, and I don't know if it's appropriate right now, but so we can clear something up pretty quickly and not be here all hours of the night. Would you be willing to speak to your opinion that you gave us all in writing on this issue?
I can't. And without going into it, I wrote all of you a pretty lengthy email expressing that this was my initial opinion. I don't have all of the facts before me. This came up last Thursday. The pertinent ones are there, and I think I wrote it pretty succinctly. Right now, there's a non-binding agreement between the town and First Call Services.
Can you say that, did you say a non-binding?
In that either party can terminate the agreement at any time. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. I can just go through this.
That would be very helpful, and I appreciate that.
Okay. So I want to tell you that this came along with a number of other issues. But right now, the initial opinion is based on the facts that have been orally submitted to me, and that is that this is in the budget. This was talked about, and I agree with Mr. Michelson. There was no specificity about this agreement. There was a call for IT services. From my recollection of the meeting, and I remember Mr. And we're going to have to review the minutes. Like I said, it's a comprehensive issue. I think what happened was the mayor said that this is going to be an expensive adventure, and the idea was to move forward with it. I don't see, and there was no conversation in there specifically about First Call. Either which way, a budget came before, and if it is in there, that this has been budgeted by the council in there, and that is the first layer of council consent. So I'm just going to read you what I went through here. This initial opinion is based on the facts that have been orally submitted to me. Specifically, understanding the funding was authorized in the current budget. And if the IT services were contemplated in the budget, the council has initially consented to the expense.
Please not whisper in the back.
When contemplating the town's purchasing policy. Finally, it appears that the agreement contemplates roughly a $2,100 per month cost. So for this fiscal year, we'll pay approximately 6 months. This is a $12,600 purchase for the fiscal year. To make things more complicated, the bill is subdivided between departments. Therefore, further analysis with fractions of expense per department. What I advised in here was for future issues, I do absolutely agree if these contracts are going to come down, they need to be brought before council. But analyzing the issue before us, the issue lands in the gray zone of I am working with Kelly Lynch. She doesn't
agree
with this. She agrees with
this. I didn't talk to her. Everybody won't talk to us anymore in Stephenville.
I know. Because they will only talk to me.
Yes.
So, she agrees with my opinion, just so you know.
And right now there's some other issues to address, but according to 7-543-01, which is the authority that's been thrown around, the city or town is authorized to make contracts that are necessary. All necessary contracts for professional, technical, engineering, and legal services, which this is an IT service, are excluded from what you're referring to as a bidding. It says that plain in law. So plainly put, Montana law is a process for bidding. We're dealing with other than professional, technical, engineering, and legal services. So this bidding process does not apply to IT services. Does that make sense?
No.
Therefore, we go back to the town ordinance and the purchasing policy. So under the Stephen Field Municipal Code, the council has the power to make any and all contracts necessary to carry into effect. The power is granted by state law and provide for the manner of executing the same. So if you stop the analysis here, that's where you would be correct, that this contract needs to come before council. However, at some point, council did develop a purchasing policy, which creates exemptions. And so it appears that the purpose of your purchasing policy is to delegate spending authority to department heads. In that capacity, you're giving them responsibility to purchase. Go to the town's purchasing policy, and what it states here, and this is why that I think your town meeting needs to address the ambiguities in here. Specifically states that for purchases contained within the department's current fiscal year budget, for purchases between $1,500 and $25,000, department supervisors need only get confirmation by the mayor prior to purchasing. So once again, I advise that based on this ambiguity, I think your council, the whole meeting needs to address the purchasing policy. And what I further need to talk to Ms. Lynch about is we have, for the research to do as to whether or not the purchasing policy complies in the first place, based on this being a general power, non-chartered government. And so that's what we still need to determine. But at the end of the day, reading what policy we have in place at this time, as of now, my opinion is there's not a violation, but it still needs to be looked into.
Mr. Michelson?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So you're stating, in your opinion, that this is a legal, non-binding contract, correct? Didn't you say that when you first started?
It's a non-binding agreement.
Okay. Right above where Brandon signed his name, the agreement is effected only upon execution by FCCS and customer. Each party hereby warns and represents that this agreement constitutes a legal, valid, and binding obligation for such a party as the effective date. So they're looking at this as a legal and binding contract.
Once the 12 months,
can I speak to that?
You bet, ma'am.
So the contract you hold in your hand is our master customer agreement. All customers sign that agreement. It does not have a term. Okay? It is an agreement that says if you don't hire our people, we won't hire yours. If we have a dispute, we're going to follow Montana law. The agreement, just to make sure that, you know, that you have the same understanding we have with regard to the contract, is a quote that was signed, okay? And that quote indicates in the term that the agreement term is 36 months, but the customer may terminate agreement for convenience at any time after the first 12 months of service. I'm going to read the whole thing to you. Customer may terminate agreement for convenience at any time during the first 12 months of service by providing a 30-day written notice. The customer may terminate the agreement for convenience at any time after the first 12 months of service by providing a 30-day written notice. Customer's early termination results after the first 12 months is a termination fee not less than 2 times the monthly agreement. So while it is a 36-month agreement, it does say so in the contract, we are in a 12-month dating period. If for any reason you wish to cancel the contract, you may at any time.
Within the 12 months?
Within the first 12 months, yes. And then after that, you can give us 30 days notice, and 2 months later, you're out.
And the council will consider the budget before that 12 months is over. So when we reevaluate programs in the budget cycle, if this is not a program that's performing to the council's liking, you have the opportunity then to say we're cutting that program out of the budget and we move on. Ms. Devil?
Were we in any violations by not having specific IT in place before by the state?
Yes. Mr. Underwood, do you want to speak to that? Or, I mean, unless you want to defer to Jessica, I think she's evaluated that.
I mean, I can speak to common IT practices. So a couple of things that stood out to us on our initial meeting. Your email system is not a hosted Exchange system. I think you're using Google?
GoDaddy.
You're using GoDaddy, which is not secure. The things that you cited, the spam or the phishing emails that you received, that could either be a sniffer that's sitting on the side of your email that knows that you correspond with the mayor from time to time, or it could be one that's sitting in one of these. The fact of the matter is, you don't have a standard email system for the town. So one of the recommendations that we would make would be that you have that. Further to that is that in 2020, your police department is going to be required to adhere to Department of Justice standards. And that is something you are going to need an IT resource on hand to guide you through that. They're going to require that you complete a survey. I've completed that survey already for two municipalities. But there are some significant requirements that you're going to need to address. Else, your police department will lose their access to the TGen network. And that's going to be important for them to accomplish their job.
So the long and the short is, yes, we were in violation, or no, we were not?
You are not in violation yet.
Of that specific practice. However, we did uncover some financial practices, which Mr. Underwood can speak to, that he can elaborate on.
I don't have them all sitting in front of me, but there's a host of security issues that we have to take into account when we have stuff on our computer, especially employee social security numbers, backgrounds, information. All that personal security has been non-secure.
It has been non-secure in the past?
And so one of the things that it's hard to talk about when you're not secure is hard to talk about in a public forum. Now that we have some sort of security, it's easier to talk about. But at any given time we lose that, we are then liable for what happens when that data goes out. And that's all the employees of the past. Our files go back. And that all that data sits on my computer. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, thank goodness, thanks to their help, we can upload that to the cloud through Black Mountain. And now it's in a cloud server. And that's a heck of a lot more server secure, and that data won't be then, hopefully, you know, I'm not an IT guy. Hopefully that won't ever get breached. But we had we were very vulnerable at that time. And I felt that from the time I got here. And so, like I said, I bought my own software just because it's, and I'm not an IT guy, as I think Mr. Gibson can tell you, you know. Every time we have issues with any IT in the town hall, it's one of us. There's no IT. So we have problems all the time. But just with safeguarding that data, you know, if we were breached, you have to call in the FBI, the FBI comes in, do a forensic investigation, find out what data is lost, then we have to go out and then mitigate that data. Normally have to hire a lawyer that's specifically the situation, this type of stuff to work with us getting our stuff back or mitigate the issue. If we were, another issue could happen would have been if our data was stolen or locked
or ransomed.
Ransom, mm-hmm. That's very common.
Ransom would be most common.
Common. And so we lose everything we've done in the last 15 years until we pay the fee. And that fee is not in the hundreds of, in tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we would probably pay it.
And our insurance coverage is limited in that respect.
Very limited.
Thank
and
you.
Prior to bringing on First Call, no location of the town, of its facilities, was firewalled. We were completely vulnerable. The only thing sitting between the computer that operates our wells and operates our sewer plant was a Quest router. And in fact, one of our computers that is operating the sewer plant is in need of upgrade, and we've been able to find cost savings through First Call's analysis of that machine, where there are machines down at the sewer plant that do need to be completely replaced, but we've also found that at least one of those machines can be upgraded. When that upgrade occurs, that's saving the town an entire machine, which is a tremendous savings to both water and sewer budgets. So those are the kinds of things that we don't have the ability in this organization. We don't have the capacity in this organization to do that. Prior to First Call, if anyone had a computer issue, they called me. My email doesn't work. I can't scan. This copy machine is broken. Well, we'll call Brandon. I'm not around all the time to do that, and that's not the job of the mayor to help everybody with Microsoft Office. So having that help desk has been tremendous asset to the organization, because they don't have to give it a second thought. They call help desk. It's fixed in a matter of minutes, and everybody moves on, and we're back up and running. Rather than waiting, you know, well, I'm at home today, so I'll come in tomorrow around noon and try to look at it for you, and then that department is stuck. So I understand and hear your concerns about the agreement and its signature and all of those things, but I don't know as though that's legitimate rationale to reject the agreement. I think that it's budgeted for, and I think we've successfully tonight demonstrated that we're getting our money's worth out of the system. When we go into the budget into this coming budget this spring, we're going to have a conversation about what machines need to be replaced. And otherwise, if we hadn't engaged in this service, we would have no idea. We'd have no idea. We'd still be running on Windows 7, and then CGen would come and rip us a new one. Mr. Michelson.
I still have a real problem how any town can give the mayor sole authority to sign a 3-year, $79,000 contract and then sit here before you and have the attorney say that for whatever reason the mayor has authority and we have to redo our purchasing policy. When since 2015, and go all the way back when Lou and Jim Cruz and everybody was there, this wasn't done. And also, it just blows me away that last year I went through all the claims and we paid $373 for 406 computers. And granted, there was a few other claims missing, but to go from $373 with no oversight, no bids, no advertising, no council consent, and to come here and to have you guys pitch your line on us that we really need a service, there's a reason why we have quotes. There's a reason why we put it out for bids. There's a reason why we put it out in the newspaper. So stuff like this does not happen. It does not happen, folks. And I'm really mad about it. I'm just mad, mad, mad. As a councilman, I'm mad. As a citizen, I'm enraged. We got Seeking Water. We've got Georgia Man down. We got a police department that's there. But yet you guys are sitting here pitching how we need IT services? Get real. Get real. We had a mayor here that just didn't do his due diligence, and now he's trying to shuffle through the fact that it's legal and he can get away with it?
Mr. Michelson, I'd request that you maintain your decorum.
Mm-hmm. I'm mad.
I understand. You've made your point very clear.
And I have a question here, Mayor.
Okay.
In May of last year, you requested for the same IT services when you were the mayor, the clerk, and the treasurer. You solicited services for bids. And you solicited for a 3-year contract for services commencing on July 1st, 2019, terminating on June 30th, 2021. You want to explain what happened there? This is on your website. You put it up for bids when you were alone. And then you've got information technology services there, and I see it showing up in a line item there.
When we did that, we didn't receive any bids.
Did you bring it forward to the council? Discuss it before you even did it?
There were no bids to bring forward to council.
Did you discuss it that you're even doing IT services?
No, Mr. Michelson, I didn't.
Why not?
Because I don't need your permission to go get quotes.
I need your permission to spend the money when it's warranted by the purchasing policy and by code, but I don't need your permission to go get a quote.
And it sounds like you don't need permission to get a, sign a contract either, Brandon. And you don't need permission to get bids.
That's the opinion of the attorney. Nonetheless, I'd like to bring us back to the point, whether or not counsel rejects this contract on the merits of the contract alone. Is there any further counsel discussion before I open the floor for public comment? Or any other questions for Jessica?
I think that if, I agree, we do have a need for IT services, but I do think that there is a proper way of going about it, and I think that we should reach out for bids.
We can reach out for formal quotes. We did, in fact, reach out to other organizations via phone call, got a sense of the services they offered, where they were located, and their pricing, and they were comparable, which is why we felt comfortable proceeding in the direction we did.
And I do have a feeling. I mean, knowing who was on the council back when we passed the budget and whatnot, if this contract was brought before us back in December, I have a feeling that there probably would not have been much of an issue getting it approved. But Brandon, this is not done the right way.
Mr. Vick, I'm going to respectfully remind you, you are analyzing this agreement only on the merits of the agreement, not on the merits of how I handled it. The merits of the agreement are before you. That is what the council is considering. I don't know any other way to make that more clear.
I'm done.
Any further council comment? Okay, I'll call for public comment, keeping in mind that it is on the merits of the agreement, not on how the mayor should be shamed or any other way. Or we've been through all of those pieces.
Hold on, y'all can't come on.
I'll just wait here.
On the merits. So we have an opinion that on the merits
of the agreement
is acceptable. I understand IT, program computers, that's what I went to college for, so I do understand IT, I do understand computers. Part of that is when you upgrade the systems for your computers, you actually get better software that you can, you know, deal with. But part of the issue too is, I remember back with the email, right, because this is all part of the technical support that they're going to provide to us. We chose GoDaddy, 2 years ago? By your recommendation, that it was secure, that it was the best it was for Stevensville at that time. So I just kind of wonder, again, why did we sign up with GoDaddy and now we're signing up with this? I just...
For the public comment?
M-Cruise 316 9th Street, Stevensville. Where's the attorney's opinion? Because you've talked about it, you brought it up. That document is now subject to review by all citizens in this room and in the town under Section 5 of Council Rules. In addition to that, that 8-page document has, I wonder if council have ever seen that before this time. And I'm wondering if the town attorney has reviewed the contract in accordance with Montana Code 74-4604 subsection 3, and if the town attorney is aware of Montana Code 73-203 subsection 7, that says the executive shall execute bonds, notes, contracts, and written obligations of the commission subject to the approval of the commission. It doesn't say retroactive approval, it says subject to the approval. It means you do it ahead of time, okay? So all that kind of stuff has to be done properly. If it's not done properly, it's not legal and valid. And everything that people in government, everything that you do, you have to be above reproach. There can be no issue of impropriety whatsoever. Okay, you can't go around the back door and make a deal for a contract and shove it through. You can't do that. You got to bring it before the council and the people, and let us take a look at it. So his opinion is a matter of public record. I don't see it up there. And counsel, did you folks get all 8 pages of that contract? And Mr. Attorney, did you review the contract in accordance with state law? And was the contract signed in accordance with state law 73203, subsection 7? Thank you.
Patrick Ford, 507 Central. Thank you for being here. Very helpful to have you here. After hearing the attorney's opinion in regards to how this came to be, I think your job is to protect the town. You can go through the weeds later, but right now we just televised to Facebook that our school system is vulnerable. You have a job, regardless of your opinion of people, to protect this town.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I'm going to try to be brief, but I don't want to break any rules here. I guess I'm just a little confused about some things. I'm not going to get into the timelines. As Councilman Vick said, and I was here during the budget hearing, this was never specifically discussed during the budget. Let's all just say that. And we say it's in the budget, you know, and this is a pretty good line item, $75,000 for 3 years. And those that know me, I look at budgets. And as Councilperson Vick said, I understand the IT issue here. I understand that. And if this would have gone through the council, I think it probably would have been approved. But the fact, I'm confused, we had to approve the attorney's contract. We had to review that. We even had to approve the new police officer's car. We had to approve that in the budget. And it says service IT. And I'm confused about this purchasing versus service and contract. And even if it is a purchase, as you all recall, the two of you that were there, we had to go through the budget and we approved a new police car for Chief Martin. Less than this. But we had to approve that. And it had to be presented. That's where I'm just a little confused. I don't disagree that you have an IT issue. Thank you.
Further public comment? Ms. Barker.
Stacey Barker, 104 Winslet. I have a problem with the fact that George just sat here and nodded his head that he had no idea that that was in the budget for his department. That's a lot of money coming out of that department when it can be going somewhere else. The other problem is, as a taxpayer, I have a problem paying that much money on a contract that was approved by you, and not brought to the council. I have a problem with that. For my opinion, you should be held responsible for this, not the city. You, personally.
Mr. Smith.
Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View. Getting back to the contract, it's amazing that we just previously before the break were discussing a contract that had to come before council, that the town attorney actually was working on and reading and was responding to. And now we're at this point where a contract was signed prior to anything? What makes this different than any other issue within our contract, within our purchasing policy, and anything within this community? Again, we are looking at a contract for the first time based off of false information that you provided at the council meeting last time, and now we're here discussing something that, again, the attorney hasn't quite got all the information, but he's given us an opinion regarding this situation. So how can we take it in one hand that we have all the information, but yet we don't have all the information?
Mr. Cruz.
One more brief comment. Something came up when I was mayor, and it was pretty significant. I don't remember the details, but the fact of the matter is the town council cannot assign powers or duty to a mayor or any other officer of the town that isn't already allowed by the state legislature. So where the town council has the authority to execute a contract, approve a contract, that power cannot be assigned to the mayor. Only the state legislature can do that. And I think that's something that needs to be looked at very seriously. Thank you.
Further public comment. Mr. Smith, last time.
Is there an amount on the thing that says I can't come up when I have another?
I'd appreciate if you make your statements concise and clear. And address the chair, please.
I'm wondering, Mr. Mayor, with the contractual issue, will we be, we have a fee associated with if we cancel this contract tonight, correct?
No, we don't.
I thought she said with it, you know, there is a fee associated, or is that after the third year or second year?
No, the
after the first year.
After the first year, there is a fee, but within the first 12 months, there is no fee. We only pay what we used. Careful.
I'll get there.
Okay.
I understand high tech. I need you need police department needs everybody needs tech anymore. But given the problems with the communication between the mayor and the city council and full transparency, I think if it would have been fully discussed at the budget hearings, this could all have gone away. With a little more understanding between the council and the mayor and the budget. And let me sign this before I get myself in trouble.
Any further public comment? Okay. Mr. Underwood.
It seems to me there's two actions here. One is the process and one is the need. I just don't want that to get confused. If we go without and say we cancel a contract tonight, we're without protection. And then we're going to have to go get that protection, especially now that we bear dirty laundry. So put that in, when you vote, make sure you know that. Because we're still going to have to come back and we're going to have an immediate need to get this service.
Mr. Smith.
I would agree with Mr. Underwood about the need for the service. But what I would disagree with is the process again. Again, I think this should be put out to bid. And if we only get first call as the only bidder, then fantastic. Then we know. But if we get multiple bidders, that's even better. But then again, if we don't put this out to bid, there could be liability for the community again because of inaction or lack of action or your action. Regarding this, because they didn't have a chance to bid on this contract, okay? And so there are other liabilities associated with this that you as council members need to be aware of also. So I again would advise you, cancel the contract, bring up some bids, bring it back before council, because I really don't think anybody in the community would have a problem based on it going through that process at that point.
Mr. Vick.
I have this one question to ask the rest of the council. Would we have, and any of us here have an issue with tabling this issue right now, having an RFP go out so that we can have bids go out for other companies to take a part in, and then if First Call just so happens to be the cheapest bidder, we stay with them. If not, we take our services elsewhere.
And still stay covered?
And stay covered.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Because, I mean, even if, I mean, and correct me if I'm, well, I'm bad at names. So.
Jessica,
correct me if I'm wrong. If we can't say that we did our 30 days writing effective tonight, we're still covered for the next 30 days, correct?
Absolutely. And you've got many more months. You can stay covered as long as you're inside your 12-month window. You can cancel with 30 days notice, no penalty.
So it's kind of like the trial for NordVPN. You get 3 months free when you sign up for 12.
Mr. Michelson?
So Brandon, getting back to this, you put this up for bid last May 31st, 2019, and you said didn't get any hits, right?
That's correct.
So why didn't this First Call go up for bid? You put this up for bid. And you've got a three-year $79,000 contract we're hanging over here we're wrestling about, but this never came up for bid, sir. This did, this didn't.
Correct. It didn't go out for bid.
Why?
As Mr. Mike, or as Mr. Owens pointed out, it wasn't required to go out to bid. It just simply wasn't.
Why?
We were introduced to First Call at a conference. A member of staff and I were there, and that's how we got on to the IT subject.
So screw the process.
No, Mr. Michelson, remember, there was no process required in terms of seeking bids. With that, after meeting First Call and getting an idea of the costs, we did call and find out what's the market for these services. And we found that First Call was responsible. They had references of other municipalities they were serving, and they were familiar with the industry. And so if they were the most responsible, or what we considered to be the most responsible vendor for this service.
Not a good answer, Brandon. Why did you do
this? Mr. Michelson, I'm afraid that no matter what answer I give you tonight, you won't like. I think that that's just the fact of the matter. Now, again, we're on the merits of the contract and of the services provided by First Call Computer Solutions.
How long would it take for you to prepare an RFP and put it out?
Give us 45 days. We need 15 days to prepare it and get it advertised, and then give us another 20 to 30 days to advertise it. Mr. Thomas?
I think we need to stay protected. There's too much stuff out there that's so vulnerable. I mean, my whole treatment plant can be shut down just like that. And all the information that Robert has on his computer. So you need to keep us protected at this time.
Ms. Devlin?
I'm a little confused. If a budget comes before the council, and you look at the line items, and you see this on there, why you don't ask questions about it? You just pass it with it on there.
Can I
don't understand, because I
agree
with that process. Absolutely.
The budget last year changed so much, that's why I didn't approve it. Because I had no clue where we were, mm-hmm. what was where, what was what. That's why I did not approve it last year. Because I had no clue where we were at. Because it went to a head off.
Ad hoc,
but that's illegal. You shouldn't have. It starts with the mayor, the department heads, and the council. We all work together. But every time we came together, something was different. So I don't even know where it was. I don't remember even seeing it on the budget.
Mr. Gibson.
But you didn't approve it.
Sorry.
I did not approve it.
Mr. Gibson?
Mr. Mayor, Council, Devlin. It was never discussed. I mean, we had each categories. I mean, yeah, there might have been something in some department that showed a little IT line, we discussed travel. We discussed all of it. This was not discussed, and I think people admitted that. Mm-hmm. It was not discussed in the budget process. And to George, I mean, if you look at what Councilman Dempsey is talking about and the current provider, you would be protected. If you went out and appropriately put this out for bids, appropriately published it, you would still have that protection for whatever, 35, 45, you are 60 days. So that's not an issue. It needs to be done right. They need the IT service. In my opinion, it wasn't done right. It wasn't done right. If you want to compromise, or if you don't. But this is not the way to go. This should have been brought before the council. It should have been approved by the council, just like the attorney's contract, like I said before, just like the police car, just like the two seasonal workers for George, just like the extra police officer. This was never presented. I went through all the minutes. I don't see anybody.
Mr. Cruz.
Last quick item here. I don't know what purchasing policy the town attorney is looking at, but purchasing policy 7B, purchasing service, contractor services are awarded to the lowest, most responsible vendor or bidder. When determining which vendor or bidder is the lowest responsible. You may take into consideration generally available information regarding their skill, ability, their integrity to do faithful, conscientious work and promptly fulfill the contract according to its letter and spirit, including qualification, available staff references, delivery date, inspection tests, and quality and workmanship, etc. All contracts for services must be approved by the council. And if you go down to 7BII, other professional services, as per the town's policy, any contract must be approved in advance by the town council. I don't know what page he's on.
Ms. Rodebaugh.
Sorry. Yeah, my back is killing me after all this. I'm just going to sit here. I don't want you guys to forget that you tabled a $2,100 bill. So you, while you're making these decisions, figure that one out, too, please.
That's next on the agenda. Thank you. Mr. Smith.
Just brief. Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View. Again, how can we have a whole opinion from our town attorney when he doesn't have all the information? So we have half an opinion. So what if the other information that comes in contradicts this opinion over here? What are we going to do at that point? So at this point, I feel the opinion is obsolete, non-existent. I won't say the word, but should exist. Should have never been done.
The motion on the floor is not whether or not his opinion is valid or not. Okay.
His opinion is regarding the contract, Mr. Dewey.
With that, is there any further council discussion before I call for the vote?
Yes, there is.
Mr. Vick.
Is there any way the rest of the council would be willing to table this until Mr. Owens can give us a complete opinion?
Can I address this?
Yeah.
I think it's gotten a little wild here. So, I mean, and specifically in my preliminary opinion that I drafted to you, all of you, and sent it to everybody, I specifically wrote, I do not have all the facts, but the mayor asked me last week to formulate an opinion. Right now, this is what I have. I intend to issue a formal opinion once I get all of the facts surrounding it. This is not complete. It's not been under a comprehensive legal review. But based on the information that's out there, this is my current opinion, because this was going to be a big issue for tonight. And so that's, I want to be clear as to what that is. I mean, you all have that in writing.
And as I understand it, the question in the opinion is whether or not the purchasing policy was allowed under a general governing powers organization.
That's further to be discussed.
Correct.
Now, based on the complexities of this situation, that's where my opinion holds. And as I said to you, Mr. Michelson, I do have other attorneys who reviewed this, who agree with me. It's there are a lot of ambiguities in the purchasing policy. And if I can go further down from where Mr. Cruz stopped reading, it goes on to say, for purchases contained in the department's current fiscal year budget, in the fiscal year budget, which I think Ms. Devlin was trying to explain, was, I mean, you look at the budget, you see an IT service that's in the budget that must be much greater than last year's. And that's where the question's posed. But just from there, department supervisors only need to get confirmation by the mayor prior to purchasing. That's why you have two different things under your purchasing policy. One says all contracts, and then they carve out exceptions. And in that further language, it says department supervisors don't get within these, this 1501 to 25,000, which right now, that's why it's a complex issue. You've got five or six departments listed on there with a, who are individually in this IT service. That's why I said this is a really complex issue, and the best idea right now is to either terminate it or consent to it, and then we'll go down this analysis later. But I want to be clear that the opinion isn't final. Is that fair?
You've stated that. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Michelson.
You said purchases, right?
Yes, you
went down below and you said purchase is up to $25,000. When is purchase? Purchases, that's buying something. That's not an agreement or a contract, Scott. You're doing two separate actions here, I think, sir. You're doing one that you're saying, well, if it's in the purchasing agreement, well, since Brandon had the authority, blah, blah, up to a certain point, then Brandon can just go ahead and get that.
Yeah.
Well, the separate thing is a contract. It's two separate actions is how I've always seen it. I've never seen where a mayor can just go ahead and do a three-year, $79,000 contract and just go ahead and say, well, you know, guys, it's within the purchasing agreement and it's okay. And Brandon should know better than this because Brandon's been mayor for 3 years now. And Brandon knows.
2 years. Mr. Gibson.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Mr. Owens, I'm not an attorney. But in your agenda item, it says service agreement. There was a service agreement with you as a town attorney. And when I worked in government and had a budget of $22 million, there was a lot difference between service contracts and purchasing. And of course, there are two different policies. I think we can mix up the words. I'm not questioning this research that Mr. Owens has done so far, but I think there is an issue here between a contract and purchasing. And this, it says right in your agenda. And I think the person that has the contract said, she read off what you do, what she does, what her company does. It's a service agreement for IT services. It's not like you bought a big screen TV and purchased it. I think that's one of the problems here that needs to be addressed. And again, I'm not questioning the research he's already done. And yeah, you can go to all the different statutes and then you can read different lines. But I think you need to take a hold here and do this right. Thank you.
Mr. Thomas, final comment. Make it count. It's the last one.
I was just going to say.
You have a process and a need. And irregardless of how the process has occurred, we have a need. We keep pointing it out. We're now vulnerable. We were probably vulnerable before. We didn't know that. George has a serious issue. He can't pump. So there are two separate things here. You have his contract and how this contract came about. If this was presented as whether in a different manner, would it have been approved? Is there a need for this service, irregardless of how it began or whatever? Well, I guess there's process and need. So you have two different things. You're talking about a contract, whether or not you accept or reject the necessary activity. This is not about how it came about. I was sitting here and I was for an offer. That's what I see. Thank you.
Okay. Further council discussion. For a call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson.
How could we have a contract when the process wasn't done right? And now we're voting on whether we accept this contract and we're putting the liability on us. We're putting the liability that every other contractor, IT contractor that sees this, that didn't have a chance to bid on it, can come forward and a potential litigation against the town. Anybody think of that? We also can't get back to the elephant in the room, but it's a three-year, $79,000 contract at $25,000 a year. That's another guy at Super down there at the plant. That's another police officer. That's roads, that's alleys. There's a lot of things we can do with $79,000 in 3 years, folks. But yet we're sitting here wrangling whether to accept this contract or not, and if we accept it, we're stuck with it.
No, you're not stuck with it. You still, so 12 the 12-month period still applies.
Can I just make one last comment, and then I'm going to call for the vote because it's gone too long. The problem I see with everybody going the process and the need, is this how we're going to keep making for our town? Oh, well, we made a little mistake. We're going to bring it up now and get it fixed.
Right.
Oh, we're going to make this. This isn't how you run a town. I mean, this isn't how you... People voted us in at this table. We aren't supposed to be working for this town. We can't just say, okay, well, you made this mistake, now let's fix this here. Now we'll make a mistake over here, and then we'll fix it here. We can't continue to do this. We've been doing it for too long. So now I'm going to call for the vote because it's been too long.
All right. It sounds Ms. Holcomb has called for the question.
Or called for the question, yes.
And so I will thereby call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb.
Now what was the vote? Do we
Excuse
need
me.
It or not?
The motion on the table is to reject the contract.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin.
No.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Consider that 30 days. The next item on your agenda is the approval of claim 15796. This is for services already rendered to the town of Stevensville by First Call Computer Solutions. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we reject the claim for First Call Services for this month. I don't think the town should be stuck any further on a liability. We got stuck with $4,100 last month because the due process wasn't done right. And I don't see like the town should be stuck with this. This isn't right. Why are the taxpayers getting stuck with something because of an inability of no bids, no due process with an attorney that reviewed it before, and the mayor's reckless actions of signing a goddamn contract on December 12th of 2019 in the dead of night, the same time the budget didn't even get over to almost 10:30, but yet he signed it on the 12th. No red flags there. Thank you.
Is there a second to Mr. Michelson's motion to reject the claim? Okay, motion dies for lack of a second.
Before making a motion, I do want to reference what Mr. Owen said back when we were discussing this whole fireworks thing. A claim does not free anybody of responsibility on a bill. It is an agreement, or it's not really an agreement, it's justifying pretty much, we received a service, we have to pay for it, which is true. We received a service, whether or not we agree with the fact that we received this service, or that we should have received the service, we received a service, we should pay for it. I mean, every time I go and buy something with my debit card, and you work at a bank, you know it says that I agree to pay according to the card services agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I believe that First Call Solutions is owed that $2,100 because they rendered a service to us.
Okay. Is there a motion on the floor to approve the claim then?
I'll make a motion to approve it.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Vick, seconded by Ms. Devlin, to approve claim 15796. Council discussion. Mr. Michelson.
I have a question for Mr. Vick.
Mm-hmm.
You said that Mr. Owens gave his opinion there on the fireworks, that since there was no advantageous for both parties, no profit for both parties, and then it's okay then.
What I was saying is, and I'm going to go back to the fireworks thing. According to the statute, and obviously, I'm sure Mr. Owens will correct me if I'm wrong, even though we approve this claim, it does not free anybody from being responsible. It does not free the an individual of being responsible for it.
I believe Brian West has said the same thing. Even though we approve it, it does not... Councilman Vick just said.
I get what you're saying. Even though even though we approve it, it does not limit maybe the party that signed a contract out of the liability of it.
Yes.
Correct? Okay, I can live with that.
Any further council comment? Public comment on the claim approval? Okay, hearing none, call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Next item on the agenda is new business item C, discussion decision on the land use agreement for the Stevensville Airport with the U.S. Forest Service. The agenda packet includes a council communication outlining the agreement. Nothing has changed in the agreement, correct, Katie, from the last time we had this agreement approved?
I don't believe so. Okay.
Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we authorize the land use agreement with the U.S. Forest Service for the use of the Stevensville Municipal Airport.
I second.
Okay. It's been moved by Ms. Holcomb, seconded by Ms. Devlin to approve the land use agreement for Stevensville Airport with the U.S. Forest Service. Council discussion? Public comment. Ms. Rodebar, are you commenting or leaving?
I'm leaving.
Okay. Just checking. I didn't.
My back is kicking.
I understand. I just wanted to, didn't want to jump the gun if you were planning to speak. Okay. With that, if there's no public comment, I'll call for the vote from council. Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Next is new business item D, discussion decision on resolution 458A, a resolution amending the membership of the Ad Hoc Climate Action Advisory Board. Mr. Vick requested that the advisory board's membership be broadened. It was perhaps too specific in his opinion. I think this was discussed previously by council, and so we've modified the resolution and brought that forward to you tonight.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 458A.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb, Mr. Vick, seconded by Ms. Holcomb to approve resolution 458A. Discussion?
As fellow council members can see here, I've removed any requirements for, you know, anyone being doctor, lawyer, school board member, Santa's elf, whatever. And I've also extended out the area to be in our extraterritorial zoning area. So pretty much anywhere that the town of Stevensville has a hand in, if you live in that area, you can be on board. And that's pretty much what the changes are. It just changes it to any citizen in the town and in that area.
Further discussion? Public comment? I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next item on the agenda is discussion decision, Mayor's appointment of Patrick Sheward to the Park Board. Mr. Sheward's actually here tonight. He's previously served on the Town Council, and while on the Town Council, he served on the Park Board. He's expressed interest to remain on the Park Board, or to be reappointed to the Park Board and remain active with that group. His application is before you tonight, consistent with Resolution 11.
It's on the back of this page.
His application was initially left out of the packet unintentionally, and so now it is in there.
Okay, I kept checking, I didn't see it.
I apologize for that.
I do have one in that other packet that I have in other one.
I'll make a motion to approve your appointment of Mr. Sheward.
Okay, so moved by Mr. Vick, seconded by Ms. Devlin to consent to the mayor's appointment of Patrick Sheward to the Park Board.
Okay.
Council discussion. Public comment. All right, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries.
Congratulations.
Thanks for being willing.
So, before we continue on, because I know the next section is, hey, let's hurry up and get out of here. Am I able to make a motion for us to put out an RFP for IT services?
If you want that to be a decision of the council, I mean, your point's taken. We're going to put an RFP out since we just canceled our contract with our current vendor, so we don't really have much of a choice now.
Right. I just want it to be understood that I would prefer to have an RFP.
Oh,
I think the rest of the council agrees there as well.
That's been
duly noted.
Okay, we'll move into the executive report. I do not have a formal report for you tonight. Instead, I do want to cover just one item with you, and that is, as we've discussed through various channels over the last 24 hours, the coronavirus outbreak that's affecting the country and the world. And what I'd like is some direction from council as to how you'd like the administration to handle this outbreak. I think we can all acknowledge it's not an if it arrives in Stevensville, but more or less a when it arrives in Stevensville. Specifically, we'll obviously leave a lot of the matters to the public health department, but what I specifically need direction on is how you want me to handle council meetings and the agenda thereof, and if there's any cancellations warranted. The decision today that we were faced with was whether or not this meeting would happen based on some concerns, and we've done some disinfecting and mitigated those risks. But at a certain point, you know, it is going to come to the community and precautions are going to be taken, so I'd like to hear your thoughts during the executive report.
Well, I know right before our meeting, Montana was just called as a state of emergency.
Correct. I have sent an email out to the mayor's listserv, in the emails all the other 125 mayors in the state, and I asked them, you know, here are the concerns I'm hearing from council. Are you hearing the same concerns? Some cities responded that they had meetings as early as last night, and they discussed it. By and large, a lot of them expressed, as I expressed this afternoon, that citizens who feel ill or are susceptible to illness, especially that of coronavirus, should not attend council meetings. Instead, if they have public comment, submit that in writing and we'll read it to the record. We've made the live stream available for folks, and in other communities, those measures have been positively received. Miles City, however, has heard no concerns necessarily from their public, but because of the CDC guidelines, they've said no council meetings. So part of my question for you is when we pull the trigger on not holding council meetings, if that turns out to be the case, I guess, you know, what is the threshold for, God forbid I get into any trouble paying bills because we can't have a council meeting because of coronavirus. So I need some expectations from you as to how you want business to continue if for some reason we can't have a meeting. And if that's something you want to address at the next council meeting on the 26th, provided we're able to have it, I can prepare some things. I guess I just want some feedback now so that if we need to have some sort of plan of action put together, we can do that with you. Thoughts?
I don't see a problem that if Robert sends us a copy of all the plans and we all looked at it, if we had any questions, we can send an email to the mayor and Robert, so it does become a quorum, and then we could just respond back to the mayor on how we want to proceed, one at a time. I mean, we don't, unless he puts it out there that we are going to have a quorum over the email, then there's no problem.
We'll seek the guidance in that regard of the city attorney and see if there's, because we don't want to create the hub and spoke effect either.
Right.
And so I think there may be a way around that if we make those email, you know, we make that email correspondence available immediately, that may alleviate that issue. But that's something we'll explore. Thank you for sharing that. Any other thoughts on the issue since you've had the day to think about it?
I think there could be like a special meeting or emergency meetings if we have to call just for us to come in here and conduct business if it's a pressing issue.
Okay.
Now, I'm hoping what I say is allowed by Montana law, because we're number 50 in being, you know, having our bandwidth and whatnot, having the best bandwidth in the country. Would it be okay with the rest of the council if, for some unfortunate reason, one of us four come down with this, for us to call in to be a part of the meeting?
We have those capabilities, technology-wise. So we can create online meetings We still have to open the facility and allow the public to come in and observe that meeting. Even if all five of us decided to chime in from a home, we'd still have to project it on the board and or speakerphone it so that people can engage. But that is doable. It's just a matter of if the council is going to accept that as an option. So we can chalk that up as an option for us if we need it. In terms of the staff and what action the administration is taking with in terms of preparing for coronavirus, we are reserving supplies that are involved in sanitation and not necessarily handing those things out readily so that we can maintain our stock. The one benefit of having the IT services we've had is that we've been able to move on to the cloud for Black Mountain Software, which every staff member uses. If for some reason a staff member needs to be quarantined or is unable to come into work, we will have the ability to set them up and work remotely from home into Black Mountain Software. So we do have those measures in place in case that occurs, provided we can maintain that adequate infrastructure that allows us to do that. And so that's briefly kind of what, of course, public safety is taking their standard measures in protecting themselves, but that's something they are used to doing routinely. So with that, then, if there's nothing further on coronavirus, that concludes my executive report to you. Yes, there's a number of questions that were asked tonight that I'll work on preparing answers for. I think what I'll do is maybe do a fact sheet for the council or something like that, because there's some things that need clarified. But otherwise, that's it. Council comments.
I do have a question. One more question on this IT services thing.
If you must.
Because damn it, we have to have something. Something better than an expired copy of McAfee antivirus that won't go away. Given this whole, I mean, and it kind of links in with the whole coronavirus and whatnot, how things take time. What Mr. Dewey said, at most it takes 45 days for an RFP cycle to be completed. Granted, we said tonight that we're going to say that we said no to the contract, and I still stand by that. Granted, the company has to have that in writing. Would we be willing to allow 50 days? Not 50 days for the in writing. Not for the in writing. Talking 20 days to get the RFP put out, and then the normal 30-day period to get our bids in.
It has to be put on the agenda. You can't just council comments. You can't.
I was just asking that because then we could put it on the next agenda.
No, you can put it on the next agenda.
Given in light of the decisions that have been made my plan, just sitting here shooting off the hip, is that we will accelerate greatly the RFP process, and so that will mean that an RFP will go out as early as early next week and begin advertising for services so that we're prepared when those proposals come back to bring those directly to council, as is the RFP process.
Sure.
So we are at the mercy of how quickly those IT firms can turn around those proposals. Hopefully it's relatively quick, and that we can bring those before you soon. Hopefully the first meeting in April, tentatively. Any further council comments? Mr. Michelson?
Yeah, I'm deeply saddened to the fact that I came back in after the first of the year and I tried really hard to get along with Mayor Dewey. I really did. I was going to meetings with him in his room and everything. And as soon as I started doing my diligent duty as getting a contract, and when that surfaced, when I finally got the written thing, next thing I know, I had two council members with Mayor Dewey. I had a city attorney that wouldn't talk to me on the phone. I had the newspaper ragging on me all over town. Why? I mean, what did I do other than do my diligent duty and get a contract? And then all of a sudden, kaboom, I have this big complaint against me, all these different things. And I'm shocked. I'm going, what's going on here? What the heck is going on? I did my diligent duty, I got a contract, and everybody's punishing me for it. That's just so sad. It's so sad. And you should be ashamed too, Scott. I called you a Friday ago and I asked you, you know, I got a question about this thing, about being suspended without pay. Oh, I'm looking at the minutes. Oh, yeah, well, I got to go, Bob. Click. You couldn't get off the phone fast enough, Scott. That hurt me. And I'm the council president. And then I see where he's got, him and her got emails, and Robin and I didn't get any emails.
Mr. Michelson, I am going to ask that you refrain from attacking an individual staff.
I'm not attacking, sir.
You are attacking.
All right, I'm done. Thank you.
Any further council comments? Any board reports? You have a report on the airport board meeting? Nothing exciting?
We agreed to bring the U.S. Forest Service contract before council today. We did. And we're also going to sell some tailings to a private citizen at current market value for the amount of tailings he's going to take. That's really it.
All right. Any other board reports?
No.
With that, we'll adjourn. Have a good night, everyone.